exist.
All right, man, here we are again with another episode of Drop It in Texas.
009er.
Number nine. I like it. And I just want to say thanks to the guys over at Sweet Daddy for letting us use Parallelogram is the name of that song that brought us into our podcast today. So thanks to the guys over at Sweet Daddy down in Corpus Christi, Texas, man. Hell yeah. So my usual co-host, Chase Tejas, in the house.
No, it's a podcast partner.
Podcast Patna.
Patna.
Is that P-A-H-T with a hard C and a silent P-H?
That's what they say in Houston. In the wars. What's up, Patna?
Right?
Right.
In there.
Yes.
Yeah. My name is Chase, Texas.
Hondo Hank. Weird. Hondo Hank. On the blue mic.
Owner and creator and operator of Voluptuous Skateboards.
Man,
Chicadura Boards and Apparel.
That's what they tell me.
That's one sponsor out of the way.
Why don't we go ahead and get the other sponsor out of the way because he's sitting right here with us.
I'm going to do him last.
Last in line of the gangbang?
Well, you went there early. My throat isn't even warmed up yet. I don't know what's happening. Yeah, we have a few. I sound weird. Sound weird?
You sound fine.
Sounds super echoey.
No, you sound fine.
All right.
You sound fine.
All right.
Little room. I think you're hearing the room noise on the outside
Floors. You don't have any carpet hanging on the wall.
I got no carpet in here, man.
It up. We have a nice group of supporters for this podcast, and I'm going to run through them just real quick because I want to get to our guest today because he's got a lot to say and many opinions. He's shaking his head like, I'm not saying shit.
I don't have opinions. I have facts.
Facts. we'd like to thank Voluptuous, obviously. That's Hondo Hank and
thanks, man.
His board magic. Surf House, Surf and Skate in Houston, Texas. Apparition Skateboards here in Austin. Royal Tiger Tattoo. Buzz Bomb Skates. Clubhouse Skateboards. Nostalgic Rags. Method of Thrashing Hard or Moth. Texican Skateboards. Houston Skateboards. And our final sponsor and our guest today is Money Mike Neiman from Cockfight Skateboards.
Hell yeah.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
How's it going, brother?
Pretty good.
Awesome.
Just had a little good little skate session this morning.
Are you nervous?
Very nervous. I've never been in a band or anything. You know, this is weird.
No, man. It's all good. It's all good because, we're recording this. So, if you say anything really terrible, I'll take it out. I'm kidding.
Probably not.
I won't. There is no editing in this show ever. It's honest, raw, and all about whatever you want to talk about, man.
That's right.
Gonna need more beer.
I got a couple more.
give him that 22% beer that tall one in the top.
Oh yeah, the Delirium Trims. Yeah,
that'll cure you.
Yeah, I got some really good bourbon too. If you'd like a little sniff,
probably wouldn't be good for my drive home. I'll skip that.
All right,
no problem.
I wanted to hear from you about John Comer. Because that's if you're cool with that, I did a little shout out to him because I skated with him back in the day at EZ7 and skate park, and dude was amazing.
Yes, and, super amazing.
Yeah,
super funny. A lot of self-deprecating humor. Hilarious guy to be around. Big heart.
Yeah.
It's a big loss, man.
Yeah.
I don't really know what else to say.
Well, I know that you guys are pretty close.
We weren't as close. Is like he is with a lot of those Dallas guys, but
right.
We did a board with them and it was super fun. Actually, we did two boards with them. It was super fun. I think people were stoked on him, and he was just always super gracious and cool and just a good dude, man.
Yeah.
Super fun to skate with for sure.
Super inspiration to a bunch of people. Pretty much everybody he ever skated with was in awe of his abilities. You know?
Have you ever skated with him when his leg broke?
No, but I heard stories about
it cracking off. It makes the loudest crack. It used to make the loudest crack, and it would scare the shit out of you, even if you knew it. Like,
right.
It was kind of crazy.
Yeah, because maybe you didn't know if it was his leg, his peg leg, or his
I feel like he got kind of a kick out of it, other than realizing he didn't have a leg to skate with.
Session's over for the day.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, so... yeah, I just wanted to kind of shout out to him. A lot, it affected, his death has affected a lot of people, and everybody's kind of talking about it and posting about it. And
I think we'd, I think, you know, maybe it might do us better to let that sit for a while and like do a whole show on John.
Well, we could. I mean, I didn't know him, you know, as well as, like you said, a bunch of other Dallas guys.
There's a lot of dudes in this town that are real close with him for sure.
Schmally was.
Travis. Who else am I thinking of? Travis Burke, Travis, I guess. Burke,
yeah.
They did that contest together, the Burke and Comer's Invitational or whatever it was called, that T1.
Yep.
Look that up on YouTube.
Right. Wow. All right. Well, I just wanted to get that out of the way. Now we're all... you're the owner, creator of Cockfight Skateboards, operator, right?
Co-owner. Kevin Lane is my partner.
Uh-huh.
He's kind of an absentee partner, but he's a partner.
I think there's a, we're familiar with that.
Yeah, we got that.
Procedure.
Yeah, we got, I got a lot of inspiration coming from a lot of different places and people. So it works out, man. You know, it, I think, I couldn't do this alone. And so, you know, I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm terribly alone when I'm doing this crap, so.
It's pretty thankless, man. Everybody just wants something for free most of the time.
Yeah. Like, oh, man, that's a great shirt, man. Can I get one? I'm like, yeah. And then when you tell them it's $20, they're like, oh. Like, oh, dude, it's $20.
Dude, I thought I was going to get a hookup.
Right, like, right. Jesus just, yeah.
Christ, it is, you know, a hookup.
So what's that old saying? There ain't no free lunch, right? Somebody pays for it somewhere, so.
Gas, grass, or ass, nobody rides
rides for free.
Exactly.
So being a sponsor of our podcast, you've created a discount code for Cockfight Skateboards. Is that right?
That is correct, and I can't remember what it is. I hope you know.
I do, and actually, I'll just look back. And I have some questions I want to ask you because a listener contacted me yesterday and wanted to ask you some questions.
Is it Brett Roper?
Nope.
Okay. Because I won't answer that.
Let me find that. I think the discount code is dropping in Texas, right?
If you say so, I texted it to you, so yeah, I can't remember.
I'm gonna pull it up real quick.
Well, while he's looking up that code, so Mike, you and I were talking a little bit last night about, you know, just the ubiquity of skateboarding, as it's available pretty much in a skate park in every town and almost every block, every corner, or at least it's starting to become that way. What are your thoughts on that, man? When it's just so like, cause for us, when we were growing up, man, it wasn't accessible. It was, I mean, we had to want it. You had to want it real bad. Now you can just go buy a skateboard and be a skater, so to speak. Just because there's a park everywhere. So, but what are your thoughts on that?
That's a weird one because I was huge in wanting parks at the beginning of the like early 2000s, like, man, we got to get like Oregon and get all these parks. But I feel like it's created these kids that, they don't appreciate anything. And I hate to always bag on the kids, but they're just like entitled little fucks now.
Yeah, we see it. We just saw it.
You know, they've never built a ramp. They've never laid a piece of plywood up against their house. They've never, you know, fixed up a slappy curb or done anything. Like they just go to the park and they rip. Sure. They rip. It doesn't do anything for me. Like,
right.
I like the kids that like make shit happen.
Right.
They really want to get out there and do it. So
do you think there's any, with that accessibility, do you think there's any, do you think there's a loss of the, like the DIY culture that, or potentially a loss of the DIY culture that might become more prevalent in the future?
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like there's a bunch of kids that they just think that's how it is. They get it. They buy their shit on, you know, online. They don't even go to skate shops anymore. Like that is lost almost. Like we used to hang out at skate shops. Chase, you fucking lived in a skate shop.
I did. I
know you really lived in a skate shop.
I had band practice there. And after that truck ran through the front, there was an issue with the alarm system. And so Lloyd said, hey, whoever wants to spend the night up here and sleep on the double rack bunk bed shelf in the back with your sleeping bag and a board bag. So we'd stack board bags up there on that shelf and lay on those. $20 a night to stay there. So we spent a whole summer, the rest of that summer.
I remember that. Man, it was pretty funny, you guys up there.
Yeah, it was hilarious. Because you could drive by late at night and we'd be watching videos and She's sitting in the shop. Shop's
how many closed. How many times did y'all just watch the Vision video or the Bones video? Or
it was after that.
Was it after that?
It was already like 8th Street videos.
It was 90, summer of 1990.
Yeah, so all the like good videos were coming out. I mean, not that the other ones weren't good, but there was new ones.
Yeah, definitely next level skateboarding in those videos. Yeah,
that was right about the time when it went completely nuts with the street skating and the tricks, you know, obstacles.
But back to your question, most definitely it's, to me, it's changed a lot. There's still some rad kids out there that are doing it, but for the most part, most kids are just like, oh, I'm going to go to the skate park and like rip around, and nobody's like, you had to want to be a skateboarder. You know, that was so cool to me. Like, you had to really want to be a skateboarder.
Right. Because it was literally
an act of rebellion, too. Jocks would throw beers at you and shit. That was fucking awesome. I loved that.
Yeah. No, that's that wouldn't be, I don't think that would be an odd statement for any skater in the early days to say. Jocks driving by, yelling, screaming at you, throwing shit at you.
Full beers.
Rocks. Baseball bats. Yeah. You know.
Oh, that was you guys in the baseball bat. Yeah.
Dude. I don't know how many times I've been called faggot. Skating down.
Right.
Thought it was your name, right?
Yeah, I thought that was my last name for a while.
It was.
Totally was.
Yeah. So, but you've got a good Ripper story.
Ripper.
Do you want to tell that story?
I've told it a million times because it's so awesome. But I did 4 years in Dallas prison. I had to live in Dallas with my dad for 4 years. Which I wouldn't wish that on anyone, but...
Metaphorically speaking.
Yeah, yes, not a real prison.
Not a real prison, just Dallas.
Yeah,
the prison that is Dallas.
Anyway, no, it was actually fun. I had good friends up there. And Ronnie Ripper, Ron Malippa, for people that don't know him as Ronnie Ripper, he moved there from Ohio and basically showed us how to be punk. Like, we didn't know what the fuck. We just, you know, you read magazines, Maximum Rock and Roll or Flipside or whatever, but this dude was freaking punk. He showed up punk. He had the records, like the crazy haircut, whatever. Well, anyway, long story short, they were skating down one of the streets in Duncanville where we lived, and the football team basically did the whole, hey, faggot, threw beer cans at him. Well, they flipped him off like we skaters did. They slammed on the brakes and came down there and confronted, and Ripper hit the dude square in the face with his truck of his skateboard.
Jesus.
Right dead center of the forehead with the skateboard. The dude's the quarterback of the football team.
Oh.
It's just so perfect. It's like a fucking movie.
Right.
And so that all happened, and I'm probably leaving out a bunch of the story, but so that all happened. But then Monday, school comes around, and we're like, oh, shit. Like, you know, this is not going to go that well. There's like 10 skaters and whatever. So the whole rumor was going around. It was just swirling around the school like, the jocks are going to kick our asses, like, you know, and whatever.
3 o'clock high.
Yeah.
So anyway,
love them, man.
I guess Ripper and the dude had a class together, maybe PE, and they fought, I guess, and just battled to like some sort of tie. And that was the end of it. Like, there was no more, but
no more.
Had to earn a little respect, hey, I man. Suppose.
Yeah.
No, we felt like we won. Yeah. You know,
oh, absolutely. We That's felt a victory. Like we won. What?
If you don't lose. Right. It's a victory.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like some movie, like, what's that dude that makes all those teen movies from back then?
John Hughes.
That's like some John Hughes movie or something, but it really fucking happened. It was awesome.
The old Weird Science, Uncle Buck.
Yeah.
16 Candles.
So, talking about Dallas, that kind of, it's a perfect segue into if you're ready to answer a couple of questions from one of our listeners.
Great.
First question. Why do you hate Dallas so much?
I don't really hate it.
Okay. How do you feel about losing the turkey jam to a dude from Dallas?
That part sucks. When I didn't really lose the turkey jam, and my sore loser's coming out. But as my buddy Schlag put it, Mike, we've seen all your shit before. We ain't never seen that shit before. That's what he said. And right I said, on. Okay.
Old shit versus new shit. Yeah, mm-hmm. I got it.
And how do you feel about non-skater-owned companies?
I think they're gay as fuck. Is gay a bad... What's a good word to say for that?
G-H-E-Y. You can still say gay.
How about say...
I don't understand why anyone would want to be in this and make no money. And if you don't love it, why the fuck would you do it?
Right.
Yeah.
That's I don't get that.
It's not an easy moneymaker right off the bat. It takes time.
And what's the point? Like, if you don't do this, if you don't live this, what? I don't understand.
Yeah, that'd be like me going to the gym.
That would be funny. It just doesn't happen.
This doesn't work.
Why would I do that, right?
Because what are you saying? You're already, like, in perfect shape? I mean, is that what you're saying?
Absolutely not.
You are looking pretty fit.
You're looking good,
though, buddy. Okay. I'm pretty good. I've recovered well this past year, but I've beaten myself up. I don't know how many times.
God, dude, you've gone down really hard the past few.
I got to chill.
Past couple
we've
months.
Had conversation about you last night. You've had a tough go this year.
It's been rough. Yeah. Last question. This listener also wanted us to grab a rubber snake and put it in your chair, but I didn't have time to do
it's
that.
It's pretty well known how my fear of snakes. Right. It's not healthy. Speaking of Ronnie Ripper, one time we were skating and he threw a piece of rope on me. He was concussed. He had been knocked out. He didn't even know where he was at, but he knew enough to know that I was still scared of snakes. And he threw a freaking rope on me. And I'm pretty sure I had a heart attack. Like, that happened.
A minor stroke.
A little minor, yeah.
Did you eat shit? Were you skating?
I was sitting on the steps.
Okay,
and,
good.
He just came behind me. He goes, "Hey, Mike, check out the snake." And he threw it on me, and I almost shit myself.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
And well, I have a very unhealthy fear of snakes.
I used to catch snakes when I was a kid, so I'm pretty past that. But the venomous ones, I don't mess with those.
Yeah, I don't that fuck sucks. With any yeah. kind of snakes.
Well, I think that's interesting because that at Easy 7, that little appliance that y'all, well, not appliance, but that piece of concrete that
the
y'all...
The newest piece?
The snake. The coral snake.
Those don't scare me.
Okay. Concrete snakes don't scare you.
The viper type, the striking snakes are the ones that freak me the fuck out.
Right. Because I saw that they actually painted it right because red and black, friend of Jack, red and yellow kills a fellow.
That was a Dozer event.
Did that?
Yeah.
Love that dude.
Yeah, he's that awesome. Dude's cool as shit.
He's fun. Last question is why did you quit skateboarding?
Because it's fucking gay.
Now, do you have any idea who these questions are coming from? Obviously someone from Dallas.
Cooker McGuffin, I think is what his name
ding,
is.
Ding, 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 McGuffin. He texted me yesterday, Cooker. And he's like, ask him all these questions. I want to know this. He's just, McGuffin, fucking McGuffin. So you win the prize.
So, hey, did we find that discount code?
Sure did.
Yeah?
Looks like it's dropping in Texas, dropping with no G. Dropping in Texas altogether. You put that on our website. It's not even a website. It's one of those Big Cartel sites. But go to Big Cartel, find Cockfight Skateboards, type in Dropping in Texas.
With a TX, Texas not
spelled. Yeah, Dropping in Tex, TX. And you get, I forgot how much I gave you guys, 20%, 25%?
It was either 15 or 20.
I'll raise it to 20. We'll make it 20.
Right on. That's a hell of a deal.
We don't want you to, you got to make a little scratch to keep the company going.
Whatever, you dude. Good? Your right, listeners cool. are great. We're gonna
awesome.
We're gonna up it to 20 if it's not that already.
Okay. And while you're buying a Cockfight skateboard, buy some swag too.
Yeah.
We'd have to have some.
They need to get some first. Oh,
so
they're
okay.
out.
Well, I know a dude who prints T-shirts in his garage.
I know that guy.
Yeah.
Well, we need to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Right on. Oh, hey, look at that. Sorry, man. My dogs love to bark at us while we're actually recording a podcast. Mike, we've talked about this before. Jesus Christ, that dog. I'm going to have to let her in here in just a second.
Dude, the dog is wearing the cone of shame.
I know, man. She's pissed. We'll put some pictures up of her. So we were talking about this. We've talked about it before. But being in the skateboarding business is a cruel mistress. What have you learned along the way? If there's anything that you could say about, because sometimes I'll be making a skateboard or printing shirts or something. I'm like, and I'll say this to myself, why the fuck did I get involved in this, man? But it comes back to it, right? It's just, I love it. So have you had those moments and, do you have any stories that you'd like to tell about that?
I have those thoughts weekly.
Why can't I just be a skater?
Every time you make your own shit, so at least you're in control.
Right.
I have to wait on other people for everything. So my graphic guy, he comes at a really good cost and he's the best dude ever, but he has a real job.
Right.
My wood shop, you know, they're a wood shop. And if you've ever dealt with one of those, it's not easy.
It's not because they don't just make skateboards.
No. And, and they make skateboards for a lot of people. And sometimes they have to wait on veneer. And basically, if they tell you a time, add a month to it and don't ever like try to get some made for an event or whatever and take them at their word, because it's going to be a month after whatever they say. And the shit's expensive and it makes no money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to love it.
Yeah. No, that's, you know, doing all the stuff, like we printed up a bunch of shirts for the Turkey Jam. And we get there and I left all the larges at home.
Right.
I was like, well, shit.
The number one size.
The number one size. I'm like, fuck, man. I'm gonna have to find all the extra large dudes and be like, hey, man, do you want to buy a shirt? You know, and I'm not going to do that. So
Houston's full of extra large dudes. You probably did all right.
Yeah. I told them there'd be some big guys
there. We like
there.
Mexican food down there.
Yeah, that's right. You know, that was a good time, though, man. You know, I'd gone to Easy 7 years and years and years ago, but I'd never actually been for the Turkey Jam. This was my first one. And that was cool, man. It looked like it was a reunion of sorts.
It is a definite reunion, and people expect it. Chase knows, being from down there, they expect that party every year, and they expect it to be good. And there's a lot of pressure to run that event. I'm done running that event. I did it for 21 years.
Ooh. Man.
And how many titles do you own for skating?
9.
Damn.
Should have been 10, but Cooker McGuffin somehow walked away with it this year.
He just texted back. Your discount code as of before today was 15%. So
it's 20 as of today.
20 as of today. Right on.
And I did ask you a question.
Tonight.
As soon as you get home.
Yeah.
I did ask a question, you know, when we were talking about the discount code and what the code was going to be. And I kind of just put the two together, and you're cockfighting. We're dropping in Texas, and I asked you, how about dropping cock TX? And you said, no.
Absolutely not.
Right. But that would be good, right?
You could do dropping cock or cock dropping.
See, either one would work.
But we don't want to go there, man.
So back to your question.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go
back.
Yeah. I don't know if you've. I mean, I know you've listened to the podcast, but sidetracking it happens often. So,
Jackson, I think the whole thing was a sidetrack, right?
Well,
y'all need to get Kerry back on, and you need to do a lot 5 hours.
Yeah,
he's got a lot to say.
Yeah,
we can do that. He does. Yeah, we can do that easily.
We have a few friends who like to talk quite a bit.
Kerry's knowledgeable about a lot of things.
He sure is. I call him for advice on building things from time to time.
Yeah.
How do you do that? He helped me put some floors in my old house.
It's a really strange memory about details. He remembers everything.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how, as much as he drinks beer.
We love you, Car Jax.
And I love him. So, by the way, you know, Mike just took a drink of his beer after he said that, so which is makes it all that much more funny.
Hair of the dog.
Hair of the dog.
Bark of the dog.
That's funny right there. Hair of the dog.
Okay, I'm going back to the question. What it really comes down to is you got to love doing this shit. There's no money. There's no prestige. There's nobody's George Powell or whatever, like. There's so many little companies, and if you're not doing it because you love this shit, you shouldn't be doing it at all. I like making boards that I think are rad for rad people, and doing stuff that we think is cool, man, whether other people think it's cool or not. Kevin and I love it. We love doing it. We love losing money, obviously.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep doing it until I can't anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
See, this is reoccurring theme that we have on this podcast, is that we're not doing this because we have to, right? There is no having to. It's must. I must do this.
Yeah.
This is my love.
It's a livelihood.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of regret.
Regrets.
So there's a little bit of regret on my end because I was out for so long, but. You know, man, when I came back and I see all these dudes doing this, man, it was so inspiring. And, you know, watching what you do. And then plus you get out there and you skate, man, you skate all the time. I mean, you called me last night and you're like, hey, I'm going to be in town in an hour. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I thought you were driving from Houston, but no, you had gone to Dallas to skate a pool.
Oh, dude, you probably just hurt a bunch of feelings right there. Oh. People didn't get invites or something.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, they'll
man.
Get over it. It happens, they probably don't man. Listen anyway.
Yeah, well, if they do.
You know, we were talking about that last week, and there are a lot of guys that'll give you shit if they don't get wind of your session, you know. Yeah. And it's not that we don't want to be exclusive. We just can't call everyone all the time and go, hey, session over here. I mean, there's a few. And
I think I enjoy the crying Brett Roper calls, so that's why I don't invite him. So.
Yeah, where is he? He was supposed to be here. Is he going to bust through the door?
Welcome, nobody ever invites me.
Well, you know, I did leave the door unlocked.
Leave the door unlocked. Yeah.
That's rad. No, you skate as much as you can. I mean,
as much as my body will allow me
right,
to.
Right. And so.
Cooper McGuffin says I just ride motorcycles now and I don't skate, but yeah, he's full of shit.
Well, he did win the Easy 7 Turkey Jam. So.
He did win it. They gave him the trophy. We'll just say that.
That's good. So one
they've seen my shit before.
Right. So one of the questions that we always ask all of our guests right off the bat is, so how did you get into skateboarding? What was day one like? What was the moment that you knew that, well, shit, at some point in my life, man, I'm gonna do this forever. Did you know it? But when did you realize it, or when did it happen, if you can remember?
Well, like almost all of us 70s kids, the first time was from Chips, when John and Ponch went to the skate park.
Yeah, that was rad.
So
I remember that one.
At that point, I think I got like a fiberglass board. It was like a Hobie, maybe yellow. I don't remember details like other people do.
Right.
Ride me in the neighborhood apart. I live in apartments, of course, as a poor kid, and we'd, you know, jump off the curb or whatever, and did that for a while. But like all of us 70s kids, we rode BMX. And
right.
I don't care who you are, if you are from that era, you rode BMX. End of story.
Jumping trash cans.
Exactly. Those old steel, dude. Like you see those memes? That's cans. The truth. Like yeah. We would line up as many bikes as we could and jump over them, all right. That shit.
And that one kid would show up with that older bike with the chopper handlebars and the banana seat, and it would go right up his ass
every time. But so I was pretty big into BMX, raced, jumped. I was kind of like known as the neighborhood dumbass basically that would jump anything, like, hey, let's build this ramp and Michael come jump it or whatever. So I was that kid. Then I moved to Houston back from Dallas, and was riding my BMX bike with the local kids, and they were like, we know this place. And we went down to Easy 7. This was like 81, I think, ish, somewhere around there. And we rode our bikes down there. We rode the bio the whole way, rode down there. And I got there, and all these surfer kids and skater dudes were there just ripping the shit out of it. And that's all I remember. And I was like, that's what I want to do. That, fuck this bike. That's what I want to do. So from then on, it was like, how am I going to procure a skateboard and do that shit those guys are doing?
You can sell the bike or trade it off to another kid who wants to bike instead
exactly
of skateboard.
Exactly what I did. Right.
So you traded your BMX bike for a skateboard.
I think I traded it for another bike, and that turned into another transaction. I don't remember how it all went, but my mom wasn't really that cool with the whole situation, but she had to get cool with it. I mean,
I think you could get hurt way worse on a bike because it's hard to get rid of that thing.
Yeah, it's hard to jump out of it.
You had bear claw pedals. Remember those steel bear claw pedals?
I still got the shin.
The shin scars.
Knobbies.
Yeah.
But so that's how it happened. Riding BMX, showed up to the Easy 7 of all places, the place I still skate to this day, and saw these fucking rad dudes, surfer guys that were ripping on skateboards.
Styling, just...
You remember those carving. Guys. Yeah, from our neighborhood. All the old guys. It was pretty badass.
When we were young. Now we're the old guys, and those guys are...
They're dead.
Really old. And
a lot of them are dead.
Yeah.
Which is sad, but a lot of them are dead. They went down weird paths and...
Yeah, that was the thing about that neighborhood is, I mean, a few of our friends were doing really horrible shit. It's, you know, back in the day behind Trade Winds or in the bushes at the ditch or just sitting on the hill, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I stayed away from the hard stuff until later, until I got into music, and then there was no escape for a little while.
Yeah. So it's a winding road, as they say.
It is a winding road.
It's the one thing about... I don't know if it's if it's skateboarding or it's the type of people that are drawn to skateboarding, but we do seem to have a lot of friends that go down kind of
yeah
dark
it's a daredevil sort of thing.
Well, know? it's literally an all on or all off.
It is extreme.
You know,
maybe that's it. Like, yeah. But I mean, just so many guys, I'm so sick of freaking guys dying because, and they did it to themselves basically, but it's just, it happens over and over again.
Yeah. I mean, for, you know, at least for me, you know, it was the realization that I don't have an off switch that really helped me a lot. So, you know, like I was having some beers last night, and at a certain point I was like, okay, this is enough. And I had to teach myself how to do that shit.
You shut me down because I don't have that off switch either. I was like, should we get another one? You're like,
oh, man,
no,
I thought about it.
We're going home.
I thought, well, you're like, let's go skate in the morning. And I'm like, okay, we'll skate. We'll do a podcast. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is if I'm not hungover. And I'm not. Well, I think I was a little bit, but, you know, it worked out. We skated, and we're here podcasting. How about that? So
I'm still nervous about all this.
Oh, man.
Really? Up. No. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. So. Went to Easy 7, traded your bike for a skateboard, and was that a banana board? Was that a modern skateboard back when
that board was a Christian Hassoy Alva?
Oh,
I think.
The Alva.
Very short lived. I'm pretty right. sure.
I think he was pro with Alva for like what, 3 or 4 months?
Maybe. Yeah. You know, time back then, a month was like 2 years or right. something. So, but it was. I remembered exactly. A pink Alva Christian Hassoy Sim Street Wheels, which were fucking terrible, but they were cheap.
Right.
And blue Gull Wings. I think they were just Gull Wing Pros. They weren't Pro 3 or
Super
whatever.
Pro 3.
Yeah, they weren't that. They were the first ones. Not the first ones, but the first Gull Wing Pros or whatever.
Right. And, I love those on ramps.
Yeah,
they're
perfect.
Like,
it was so weird. You start skateboarding and then you just lose track. Like, I don't even know what happened after that. It just consumes your life.
Right. Yeah.
And here I am 50 years old this month.
Woo!
It still fucking consumes my life. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, looking around my house, you know, I was telling you this morning, I was like, okay, so this is my garage. This is where I press my skateboards, print all my t-shirts, print the boards. And we walk into this room and here's this table set up for podcasting about skateboarding. There's a stack of decks pressed and unpressed. It has consumed my life. And this is part of that thing. I'm like, man, why the fuck do I keep doing this to myself?
Because you fucking can't stop. Because
I can't stop. It's I think maybe it's a sickness.
Am I allowed to say all these cuss words? I'm sorry.
Say whatever you want.
Say whatever you want.
My mom doesn't hear this.
So did I tell you the story? I told you. So we're at the vert ramp the other day, right? We're all sitting around having a little conversation. And like 2 days before that, I had texted my mom the link to the podcast. And I texted her the direct link to the one with Carrie. And the episode before that, Chase and I were talking about pads or no pads. And then Carrie comes in on his episode and he says, so, hey, man, I listened to your episode about pads or no pads, but have you ever just tried like not being a puss? And so my mom, we're at the vert ramp. We're all sitting around having a good time, talking, chatting. And
John Gibson showed up, by the way, randomly. How awesome
yeah.
is that?
Got
that
it, was yeah. cool.
That was really cool.
It was very cool to see him.
And my mom calls, and, you know, I always answer the phone when my mom calls. I don't care how late it is. So I'm walking through the flat bottom of the ramp, getting to the other side, and she says, honey, just because you wear, this is the first thing she said. She didn't say hi. She didn't say I listened to your podcast. She said, honey, just because you wear your pads doesn't mean you're a puss. And I thought that was fantastic, man. And it's those little moments that skateboarding contributes to that. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that moment, man. And so, yeah, if it's a sickness, I'm happy I'm afflicted.
Exactly. It's an affliction for sure. What is that? I think Carrie said it, that Lance Mountain quote. I forget how it goes.
I don't remember exactly what it is, but yeah.
Something about not being able to quit skateboarding. Right. I forget how it goes.
Yeah, well, it's a life sentence, no matter what, and then that's okay, man. I dig it. I've met some of the coolest people, skated with some of the coolest people, you know. So, man, this is I'm gushing about skateboarding. I need to stop because I do it all too often. So, but here we are now, man. I mean, you know, we're all in our late 40s. I mean, like I said, happy birthday coming up to you.
Thanks.
You know, so but we got. I think we do. We have another question.
No, but I found the quote.
Oh, you found the quote. Okay.
Skateboarding doesn't make you a skateboarder. Not being able to stop skateboarding makes you a skateboarder.
Think how fucking true that is.
That is
completely true. Yeah. I've had to step away to, you know, for music, and every time, you know, I'll go 5 years and not skate very much at all, not go to a park or a ramp.
But you never quit.
And I'm like, yeah, and I'm like, right. Dude, I got to go skate something. Like
parking garage.
The itch never goes away.
Yeah.
Ever.
God, there's definitely been years where I didn't skate much, but you're never like officially quit.
Right. I think I'll have to be in an urn.
Yeah. Is that what you want?
Yeah.
Do you want me to spread your ashes at a skate park?
No, actually, I want you to, if I go before y'all, I want you to press me into a skateboard.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's
what people we're gonna say do. That. You're going to be fucking dead. Who cares what happens?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Well, actually, you know what? It doesn't matter. Y'all have fun. Y'all have fun with it.
Yeah, right. But wouldn't you love to say, what kind of board is that? And you're like, this is
Hondo.
This is Hondo Hank. Oh, that's a voluptuous. No. He's dead.
That is Hank.
We put his ashes in between the plows and glued it all together. This is him. I mean,
it would be like the board that's stress cracked.
Yeah, no shit, right?
It'd be weird.
Or the mold broke while it was in there and it's so weak and flimsy. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never really worried about what happens after I die, because you're dead. I mean, what the fuck?
It doesn't matter.
All my troubles are over.
Spread my ashes in the ocean or whatever. They're just going to go away anyway.
Yeah. You're gone. Either way, you look at it.
Yeah.
No matter the ceremony, you're done.
Pour me in somebody's boots. That'd be hilarious. Maybe I could cure their athlete's foot. So.
Huh.
Yeah, you never know.
It's a weird.
Well, it is, you know, it's ash. Yeah, it's ash.
It is ash.
I know, that's one of the weirdest things I've ever said on this podcast.
Can I go get another beer?
Yeah, I'll get you one, man.
Yeah.
But it's going to be one of those other weird beers. That's all I got left.
It's all right. At this point, I'll take anything.
So when did you start Cockfight?
I think 2007. I suck at this kind of stuff. Like, I should have like a whole timeline.
Well, you called out that you texted me with an answer to a question that we had before about the first Easy 7 contest. That's a while back. You said 83?
That's Lloyd has a flyer from 83. So that's the first known one that I can remember.
Right. What I think is amazing about Easy 7 is that it's the perfect ditch to skate.
It's so correct. Like, there's nothing to it. You look at it, you're like, oh, what's the big deal? But the angles, the size, everything about it.
The channel.
The lip for putting parking blocks on it.
Mm-hmm.
Most ditches have like grass behind it.
Uh-huh.
It's just fucking perfect.
Do you remember the green table that we had up there for a couple of years?
We helped log that fucker down there from the park.
The parks department
hated us, dude. Yeah. The benches, the table, uh-huh. all
the
that
benches.
Shit.
Yeah, I remember the bench. That
remember
table
when
was
that
my
park
favorite.
Was beautiful before the drought, like green and trees.
Yeah, yeah. And you could park there. Marshall Allen would bring his 4Runner up there and park at the top of the hill and nobody gave a shit.
Yeah, and play music or whatever. Yeah. Some hoodoo gurus or whatever
gurus. Yeah.
Surfer bra shit.
Uh-huh. Well, the cool thing about the contest every year is that the city doesn't give a shit. They've built all these free parks around everywhere. They don't touch EC7.
I've never asked permission to do that there.
Never. The city just kind of recognizes it as a Houston icon for skateboarding, which is now totally accepted everywhere, at every city, everywhere.
I do worry sometimes, and I try to keep the kids in check because they want to build more shit, Adam and Dozer and my kid Matthew, and I try to keep them in check about let's don't build too much shit because eventually they're going to not be cool with it.
Right. Yeah, I think the trick is to replace something. Take it down, put another something up. If you keep adding, I mean, it's been, we had tables, benches, and blocks there in the 80s, right?
Scrap pieces of wood and whatever we could find. Remember the ramps? John Montgomery built all those ramps. Those were killer.
Yeah, rest in peace, John.
Yeah. Another one.
Yeah.
Down the wrong fucking path.
Yep. And his parents also passed right after that as well.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Dana passed. I forget what happened. I think she had cancer.
Bless you.
But his dad passed years later. Like, he still owned that building. I guess he's the one that sold it to the new people.
Yeah, popcorn candy nuts. We used to go over there and poop because Surf House didn't have running water. So we had to go over there. And, I mean, it was either that or out in a bag out in back where all the cats were. You know?
Where Lloyd feeds the birds.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good to see Lloyd and Carol, man. Lloyd looks really good. He's got energy. He's like...
He gained weight back, which to see. He was looking... After he got sick, he was really skinny, and I was worried about him, but he looks
scared
great.
Me, man.
He looks great.
It kind of freaked me out.
Oh, it freaked me out a lot.
She texted me and said, he's in the hospital. Can you come up? And I'm like, I could try. And then I wasn't able to, but she kind of kept me in the loop, and I was glad he got that handled, you know?
I called him there, and he was ornery as ever.
Come fucking
awesome.
Get me. I want to get out of here.
This place fucking sucks. The food's terrible.
Yeah, he still kicking, man. It's amazing. Like, we went there, and that was Hondo, your first time at
My first time at Surf House, man.
What
did
you think about Lloyd and Carol and
man,
the shop?
You know, here's the thing. Right?
I wish you could have seen the old shop, actually.
Yeah, I know. I have pictures. I've shown him a couple pictures.
So one thing that struck me, other than Lloyd and Carol, was the amount of history that they have on the walls. I mean, they have original 15-toed skateboards. I have one. It's one. But mine doesn't look anywhere near as good as theirs does. But not only that, man, is that, I mean, this shop has been there since, what, 1968?
67.
1967. I mean, talk about contributing to skateboarding. You know, these two people contributed to skateboarding more than probably anybody in the city of Houston through those years. I mean,
most
50
definitely.
Years.
And kept it alive, like, when, I mean, they probably went years without making any money.
Ken Fillion, 87, GNS.
That's what I miss, that old shop.
The paneling. There's Ken's
just
autograph.
Saw, yeah. Oh,
on
so
the wall.
So okay. So
the
describe
floor,
what that
the
is.
The stickers on the floor.
Eddie Radtke. Yeah. So the old shop had paneling. And they
wood,
had
the old wood paneling from the 70s.
Paneling, like in your trailer, you know, that flimsy stuff.
Yeah, I know that.
And so right now I'm looking at an Eddie Radtke Go Skate Alva autograph. God, man, I took all these pictures a couple of years ago, knowing that they were going to move. And here's a bar card sticker.
Is the bar card puppy? No.
Did you get any of the bricks?
No, man. They saved a bunch of those old posters, the music posters, for me. And I think I got some other stuff. They gave me one of those decks, those black anniversary decks, and signed it and everything.
Surf House A-list.
The A-list decks. The A-list.
Yeah. So it was that just reminded me of how much of an impact that individuals have in the skateboarding community. And so, you know, like we're talking about, you know, sometimes where you just, I mean, I'm frustrated with making these boards and people asking me for free shit all the time. But at the end of the day, you're making an impact in your skateboarding community, whether that's locally in Houston or here in Austin. Because, man, dude, you've got boards everywhere. You know, when I see somebody riding one of your boards at the skate park, I don't be like, hey, man, you should get on a Voluptuous. I'm like, man, you're rad. You should.
That's what I tell them. I'm kidding.
But the thing is that it's Texas skateboarding. You're supporting Texas skateboarding. And, you know, and I'm guilty of it, too. When I was a kid, man, I mean, the magazines, they had all these California dudes. And, you know, there were, man, some great California. Alan Losey, we were talking about Alan last night. Alan Losey is a fantastic skater, and I had a couple of his boards. I got a couple of his boards right now. And so, you know, I would be like, oh, man, yeah, you know, I really want this Zorlak, Craig Johnson, or Double Cut, or Big Boys, but, man, I want that Alan Losey one because he's all over the magazines. And the thing was, is he really wasn't over the magazines. He was just a really good skater, and I wanted his boards. So
remember when Losey went, like, he became Hussoy's sidekick, and he started wearing all the flair with the shirts hanging out. And all that shit.
Same.
The waist cape.
It was pretty funny because he wasn't that dude, but all of a sudden he was.
Right. But, hey, man, you know what? His skateboarding, he said a lot, man. I mean, we were like Terra and Tahoe. He tore that ramp apart, man.
He's a lot like Craig Johnson with the just, you think he's a lot bigger than he actually is because of the way he skates. Like, you think Craig Johnson's huge when you're a kid, or we did.
Oh, yeah.
He might as well have been 10 foot
tall. 10 foot tall. He's the biggest. He's
but
my
you
size.
See him now, and he's just regular. But, God, he skated so fucking big. Like,
yeah.
It was rad.
He cut his helmet.
Yeah, to pull his
dreads out. Mm-hmm. And then when he cut them all off, he had problems with his balance because he was top light, you know. had to get acclimated to not having a like 20 pounds.
Those were
of
some of the best white boy dreads I've ever seen.
Yeah. Ever.
Like way better than the lawyer that rocks or whatever.
David Comey.
David Comey.
But yeah, you know, so seeing Lloyd and Carol, and you know, you're involved, and you know, we got a lot of people in Texas involved in the contribution to skateboarding, just in general, you know. And I think it's fantastic, man. And I think the more the merrier, you know. And is that you?
Mm-hmm. 1990.
Holy shit, dude.
God, you would have thought that kid was something else, dude.
Man, you look marvelous, dude.
Look at that hair, dude. That,
so what I'm looking at is basically a white boy Ronald McDonald with red, bright red hair and a flannel shirt. Dude, you're totally, totally rock and roll grunge back then, man.
That aged Chase really liked Shock Value.
I did. We were piercing ourselves, and
you were just being obnoxious a lot.
Playing music and being trying to be punk rock, I guess, or just rock and roll or whatever.
You were. You know? Look, you're still doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have a gig tonight. Still fucking doing it. It's almost like skateboarding.
Right.
Fucking disease. There is no cure for.
Yeah. For music, for me, I can't stop. Like I started on piano, then went to guitar, then played French horn, and all, I didn't like any of that. And I went to drums. I'm like, oh, this is where I like to be sitting back.
Bombastic.
Here. Yeah. And then I couldn't play drums at all for about a year last year. So I picked up a bass, and it's like, it's just stacking shit.
What's
more instruments now. I'm
it's like a drum guitar.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't know music at all.
We should get you a keytar at some point. Dude.
Keyboard
those
guitar.
Those are so sick.
God damn it.
Well, those, they tried to bring those back. Some
they did.
That was the fucking end of Van Halen, dude.
Oh,
dude. God, how could you do that to one of the greatest bands ever?
Well,
every band has that one album that you don't listen past.
Well, they never came back.
1984 is where it all stopped.
Yeah, that was the end.
That stopped right there. Kind of like there's another band that had an album that had a black cover with a black snake on it.
Injustice for All. You saw the writing on the wall.
It was, you did see it with that one too.
The song's got like an hour long.
First four. That's it.
Yeah, first
no,
four.
Not even the black. I'm saying I didn't like the black.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't like it either.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah, I heard that. Like, and people waited for a long time for that record to come out. And I heard a bunch of people like, man, I've been listening to it, man. It's growing on me. And I'm like, look, if it didn't
if
get
it has
you.
To,
It ain't for you.
If it didn't grab you the first time. Right. It's like the cult Sonic Temple. I was a huge cult fan. And then I went and saw him on the Sonic Temple. And I was like, no.
Slayer never blew it.
Never.
Slayer never blew it.
Never.
Diabolus and Musica was their closest attempt at blowing it.
Yeah.
But they never blew it.
So interesting. So, man, I'm glad you brought up Slayer because... I was talking, I've actually told this story a couple of times over the past month, but, so grew up in Corpus Christi, right? And I was all punk rock, Misfits, Circle Jerks, you know, that
Freddie Fender,
Freddie Fender. Absolutely, man. Oh
Farrah Fawcett.
God, I love Freddie Fender. Farrah, I went to the same high school she went to, man. Dabney Coleman lived in Corpus Christi for a while too.
I don't know who that is.
You ever seen Modern Problems? The movie Modern Problems with Chevy Chase?
I'm not the freak. He's the freak. Yeah. I'm a goddamn good-looking man.
I'm a goddamn good-looking man. Yeah. So you know who Dabney Coleman
nine
is.
Nine to five.
9 to 5. He was their boss.
The boss in 9 to 5.
But, yeah, a lot of famous people from Corpus, interestingly enough. But, you know, something through skateboarding that I discovered was Slayer. I wasn't into metal. And so we had gone to skate this ramp and it was on Talisman Street. How fucking badass is that? Talisman Street. There's a 8 foot wide half pipe with one platform and the other side of the ramp just goes up about 12 feet and you could do a backside
pump wall.
Yeah. Basically a big giant pump wall, but there was nothing at about 4 feet. And so it would sway back at the top. It was fucking gnarly. And so we get there, we're skating and you know, we were listening at the time. We were just listening to Misfits, having a good time. And then this dude's up, hey man, you guys listen to Slayer? And we're like, who?
Are you doing a Hispanic Slayer accent?
That's just what he did, right? That's how he said it, right? And so he puts it in, and fucking, it was over. I was like, this is rad.
You could skate to it.
You could skate to it, and fucking, it was just, I mean, it was just fantastic. And so thanks for bringing up Slayer, because I've been wanting to tell that story. Jesus, good Lord.
Wow.
Yeah, we're sending some shirts. We're sending a Chica Dura shirt to her.
She's one of our sponsored riders.
Yeah.
With good reason. Yeah,
so,
right. That's a good sponsor.
Damn it, Chase.
Hopefully she'll cut it up like that.
You're killing me, son.
Speaking of Slayer, you guys left because somebody needed to get home at a reasonable hour from Turkey Jam.
Yeah, but well, I mean, you know, he was injured.
They put on Slayer for the old dudes.
Oh.
Somebody broke off a leg, didn't they?
Johnny Watkins, man. Johnny? I got a GoFundMe started on my Facebook or wherever the hell I have it. Please go give anything you can, dude. The dude is giving back to skateboarding a lot. It's been in the skateboard industry forever. Nicest dude ever, man. And that sucks so bad. He got hurt right at the very end. I think he got caught up in Slayer.
The total stoke in the jam, yeah.
Dude, every old guy was selling out so hard. Like, it's Slayer. I'm telling you, they put Slayer on. And
it does something.
Yeah.
It's like you get taken over.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Yeah. And you've been it's doing like you this possessed. For how long now? And it still works.
Same effect right. Every time.
Was it Rain and Blood?
I don't even remember. I was just trying to.
South of Heaven, probably.
I was trying to win, and that didn't work out, obviously.
So,
I was trying to jock out, but it didn't work.
Somebody else did? Is that what you're saying?
Cooker McGuffin.
I saw a clip of him.
No, McGuffin is a bad motherfucker. By
yeah, man, I love watching that dude skate.
He's got more heart than anyone.
He bounces. And when he did when he went over the triple stack and then went around the bowl and he
do
came back
see
in.
That video?
I don't want to see it again because it looked as if he ripped his ass up to his boobs. But he hopped up and ran up the side. Dude, if I'd have done that, you would have had to just send me down the bayou. Yeah. That would have been it. I don't know how he gets up from those.
Dude, I don't.
Do you know that dude's only been skating for like 5 years or something?
Yeah.
And he's got so much fucking heart. I've taken him on these pool trips that I go on every year, and he rips the hardest. He drives the most. He drinks the most beer.
He's a bulldog.
He's a badass.
Yeah.
Even though he fucking stole my trophy.
Right.
That's fucking awesome. Yeah.
He's from Dallas.
But you're right, man. He bounces. I wish I could fall like that. Because I just stop.
Yeah.
It hurts.
I want to give a shout out to Joey, man. Get well soon, brother.
Yeah, man.
That slam was
Joey. What's the
was
verdict
really
on Joey?
Horrible.
It wasn't good, the
so he
shoulder.
Had he's got a shoulder and an elbow issue. I don't know if he has a fracture in his elbow. But I do believe he has a severely sprained AC joint in his shoulder.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
You felt it. It was like a clunk.
Oh, and he bounced off the.
He bounced.
So just to get a little bit of a little, hey, man, Joey, dude, you're a ripper, man. And that was a hard slam.
He represents Cockfight Skateboards,
yeah,
by the way.
Absolutely, yeah. He does. Yeah. And, dude, he represents skateboarding very well, also. Mm-hmm. But he went down really hard, man. Joey, get well soon. We'd love to see you. But more importantly, that slam was on Saturday night. And he got up the next day and skated in the Turkey Jam. Mm-hmm.
After sleeping in his fucking
Van. In his van. And he got third, I do believe, or something like that?
He got longest grind for sure.
Longest grind for sure. And
he's in the toughest division. Like, he's got the Adam Wiggins type dudes.
Yeah,
like,
Dozier and those cats, yeah.
Was he in the Ripper, or was that?
He was in the Ripper division, okay. Right. Yeah. Which... those kids they annihilate. Like, right. The level of ditch skateboarding has gone up so much since
it's
5
just
years
put,
ago.
Put these guys on any terrain and they're doing the same
tricks.
Oh,
they can do anything.
I remember 5 years ago, the young kids division, the 12 and under or whatever it ends up being, they could barely kick turn on the wall.
Right.
Now they're half cabbing over the triple
that
box.
That little kid who was doing
kickflip
varials
over
the channel. Like, remember when Mark Gonzalez, the first time you saw that
360 air over the triple block into the ditch, like he was on a launch ramp.
Yeah.
It was fucking insane.
And the one
the
dude.
Kids are so good.
Did the, what's his name?
Might be because they have access to parks everywhere they
back
go.
To whatever you just were talking about earlier, that skate park thing.
Right.
It's exactly. Sort of, it's just part of it.
And that's, and see, the thing is, it's a double-edged sword, right? So we might lose something in the future in terms of the DIY culture or whatever, but on the back end of it, skateboarding progresses.
You know what? It still pisses me off, though, that they get to be this good.
At that
because
age.
Because we had to look at magazines and be like, how the fuck did that guy get like that? Like, how did... So you're, like, trying to emulate what you saw in a magazine once a month. These kids got... Instagram overload and
YouTube,
all that.
YouTube, like I could watch somebody do it over and over and over again, yeah.
They're still doing it, but it just seems too easy now.
Right.
Fuck right. that. These kids need it harder.
Yeah, well, you know, fucking, well, you know, goddamn it. I used to walk to school in the rain,
get
in the snow,
my lawn,
uphill.
Man.
But yeah, not in my backyard, you sons of guns. Absolutely, oh, absolutely.
I can't find that guy. He did basically, over the triple block, he did like an airwalk finger flip.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Fogo de Chao.
It's, I found him. I followed him, but it's Fogo it's Focho, dude. Focho, dude.
I think he did some misspelling.
D-O-O-D, Focho,
his name
dude.
Is Brandon.
Brandon.
But I just call him Fogo de Chao.
Really nice,
I don't know what
really nice
means.
Guy. And ripped. Fucking ripped.
Fogo de Chao is a really pretty good restaurant here.
I have never been
there.
That's a Brazilian steakhouse where you just get super full.
On yeah. meat.
And there's one right down the street. It's called Estancia Churrasino.
Don't uh-huh. they come out with like a sword?
They come out
they
with
like
a sword.
They like slice it with a sword.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm only going there if somebody else is paying.
Dude, but the problem is after like, you know, after they come by your table twice, you've got like meat sweats and you're not sure if you're going to make it out the door alive. It's fucking gnarly, but it's so good.
Is it like the movie Bridesmaids where they go and eat that jacked up Brazilian restaurant? They all poo-poo at the when they're trying on dresses.
I don't
remember that scene.
I didn't.
Did you see that movie?
I don't,
hilarious.
I didn't see
not.
That movie.
My girlfriend might have made me watch it.
Oh, dude. Okay. So, oh my God. Where are we?
Focho, dude.
All right.
Focho,
yeah,
dude.
Talking about
yeah,
the
I'm lost.
I don't
we were talking about. Oh, we were talking about Joey.
Oh, and I'm mad that kids are super good.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But right. watching.
Because they have skate parks.
But watching. But watching kids like Joey. You know, I say Joey's a kid, man. He's a grown man. But, you know, he had access to those skate parks. And, like, kids like Joey and Harley Till and Jeremy Clark Fox, man. All those kids rip. And I like watching them skate because. Man, they don't have an off switch when it comes to skateboarding. Mm-mm. And that's inspirational, man. And I really, man, thanks, guys. Thanks, guys. You make me want to skate more.
It just makes me more mad. The youth is wasted on the young.
Yeah, yeah it is, isn't it, man? Because in my mind, dude, I can still do everything.
Exactly.
I can still do everything. In fact, I dream.
Damn it, if I could have just grown up in this internet world, yeah. I would have ripped so much harder.
Probably wouldn't have been a skateboarder.
No, I probably would have, like, who knows
yeah,
what.
Yeah.
Make sure that we, because I want to post, I want to share the GoFundMe.
Yeah.
For dudes.
Oh, John,
so, yeah,
I'll send it to you.
Let's make sure, because I'll post it on our pages.
What did he do? Did he break his leg?
What's the top part of the big, but the tibial
femur,
plateau?
On the
right above
the knee.
Where your knee sits on your bone.
On the femur.
On the bottom bone. No, it's the, but he broke the lower,
tibia.
But he broke the plateau.
Oh, my
and
God.
It broke in multiple places.
Oh, my God.
So. Multiple surgeries.
Yeah.
Like I said, man, the guy's worked at South Shore. He always buys my boards, like wants them. You know, I don't have to beg him or anything. He's just the coolest dude. If you ask for anything for an event, support, he's always there. We need to support him back.
Absolutely. Let's do that. I'll reshare that on my social pages as well.
Ugh. I can't imagine that. I mean, I broke my arm, but your leg, like, in the shin. Dude, my shins, you were talking about it earlier, my shins look like the whoops on a motocross track. If you rub your hand down them, it goes, there's dents and holes.
Did you ever have hutch pedals?
Yes.
That'll do it.
Dude, that's why I quit riding bikes. I'm like, forget this, man. I can do bang up my I went to the hospital from doing a ho-ho. Because I was walking around with it, the board was, and the board came down and landed totally on its
side.
Can
you still do street plants?
And with these wrists, no way.
Just put a wrist guard on. Let's film one.
Dude, I think my
with a wrist guard on, you can't
pop out like Roper's arm, you know?
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
So Alan Losey had this cool inverted tail ride, this real quick one.
Yep.
Remember that one?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way I can do an invert. And Roper, man, if you look at Roper's arm, his goes elbow to wrist with a huge scar. And he was doing an invert on vert ramp. And
so Roper broke his, fell off the side of the ramp and broke it. And he got a plate. And then first session back,
the other
went
one,
up to
he?
Do an invert and it broke over the plate.
Okay,
oh,
same
my
arm.
God.
Yeah, dude.
It was disgusting.
Was this in Houston?
No, he did it in like D.C., but yeah. I got video of it. My friend
God.
Peter sent me the video, and it looked disgusting.
Ugh. It popped because he compounded.
It's like he had an L in his arm was an L.
Yeah,
the wrong way.
Jesus,
that's terrible. What's your worst injury?
Had five knee surgeries. Probably need another one pretty bad. I really need a new knee, but I don't know if you can still skate. So that's why I'm skeptical of
with
that.
A shiny
so
chrome
yeah, I don't
knee.
Know. Like, can I still?
I don't know how they attach it all.
And so till then, I'm just going to keep doing.
Watch like, the go on YouTube, and there's a video. There's a whole video of that surgery, and what they do, man, is they basically make a brand new hinge.
They saw your bones off, right, and jam that.
They saw it. They that tibial plateau. They cut it off flat, and they put a plate on it that has a hinge in it. And in my opinion, that's as close to getting metal legs as you're ever going to go. And I've always wanted metal legs, just specifically for skateboarding.
I'm so, not ready, man. I'm just going to keep drinking bone broth and taking legs. CBD and rubbing shit on it. Yeah, I'll do whatever I can do to
I got some snake oil for every joint. Man.
Don't say my snake. Doctor told me there's no more surgery on it, though, because we're out of cartilage.
Yeah.
We got a ton of scar tissue, and he says it'll just make more scar tissue if we do another surgery. Yeah, so it's just cool. Deal with it at this point.
Full replacement. Sucks. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got the PCL missing in my left leg, so I'll be there with you. Maybe, maybe we can go get our knees done together.
Worst injury though, tib fib.
Both.
Dead center of my shin, tib fib, both. Broken half. Yeah. That's the worst.
Oh my God.
Yikes. That's full leg cast for 6 weeks. Like straight leg, it was awful.
Oh, you couldn't bend.
You couldn't do anything.
You get an itch on your.
You couldn't drive.
Knee,
you couldn't.
They tell you don't stick anything in there because you can cut yourself. And
you'll want to cut the cast off. Dude, it's so bad.
I cut
they
a cast off.
They smell so bad. Like nowadays, they have all these cool shit. Like you can take it off. Those plaster casts were disgusting.
Yeah, they were nasty. I still have mine. I was only in it for a day. They put it on and then.
Remember,
they
I live
cut
in Houston
it.
Too. The pretty much the most humid place outside of Florida
or New Orleans.
Yeah.
It was gnarly.
Yeah.
So that's the worst. The knee surgeries are actually, I always use them as like the rehab is like to get back in shape or whatever. Like, fuck, I'm going to hit rehab super hard and I'm going to get back in shape. The knee surgery never bothered me until now. I can't get one and I'm just fucked. Like, I need a new knee, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to talk about that because I need to. Sorry.
I need a butt.
Yeah, well,
we need butts.
Dude,
need butts.
Dude, well,
look, I have a lot of ass if you want. So hey, but, I'll give it up.
Chase, you more than me. I'm just going to say that.
I need butt more than you.
You need an ass more than I need an ass. But I do. They have inflatable ones you can put in there, man.
I was thinking
dude,
about
the booty
some
pop. Have you ever seen the booty pop?
Implants.
No, you can go to as seen on TV at CVS and buy the thing called the booty pop.
Oh,
and it's like some little padding you can stick back there.
I'm gonna do that.
They'd probably make really good padded shorts too.
I'm gonna do it. I think it might work for skating. You know.
Oh yeah, it's probably like a dual purpose. Yeah, you'd look good.
No, they didn't even think about that.
You'd look good, and you got a pad on your ass.
Who's that guy skating with that great ass?
Yeah, man.
Damn, look at that.
Well, it's funny because you were talking about equipment. We talked to Bill Walker from Pro Design, and we were talking about the old hip pads.
From the neighborhood, buddy.
Yeah, from the hood, man. He's actually, I'm working on some stuff with him, and that'll be something for the future. But he was talking about showing up with, like, hockey pads.
Because I'd asked him about hip pads.
We were talking about the old.
You're going to make some padded
inserted,
shorts?
Those, you know,
inserts,
old,
yeah, from like this.
I had those. I had those hip pads, dude. I wore them at the skate park. They stuck out of your shorts.
They had the little clips that like hung over the edge of your pants like to hold them in.
Not in the 80s. I didn't. Mine were just, you stick them in your waistband.
I feel like I had one at one point because I had a hipper and I'd like.
The ones I had, the ones I had were like the OP. Remember the OP shorts, the corduroy OP shorts? Mad Rats, right. And so mine actually Velcroed, the pads Velcroed on the inside of the shorts.
Frank Gardner, Texican skateboard.
Texican.
Frank Gardner.
Hey, we didn't.
I feel like he used to run those Mad Rats pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Are they a sponsor? Yeah. Did I blow it? He's a sponsor, right?
Yeah, he's absolutely.
Yeah, I just didn't remember if we shouted out.
I just did them real quick so we could get to.
Frank's been a ripper. I mean, Chase knows. Frank was ripping when I first saw him.
Frank and Joe Richardson.
Best grinds I've ever seen.
I talked about it last podcast.
Better than pro dudes at the time.
Oh, my God. With his fucked up shoes and his taped together clothes.
Punk rock before I really knew what that was. Yeah, he was that dude. But anyway, so Frank Gardner, I feel like used to rock those Mad Rat shorts. You'll have to ask him to verify, but I'm pretty sure he did.
And, all right, Frank, after you listen.
Barry Blumenthal definitely used to call him because we used to call him Barry Butthuggers. Because he had those big pads in his Mad Rat shorts or whatever.
That's right.
Barry's still fucking skating too, and he's like 60 years old.
I'm going to text Frank right now and see if he gets it.
Yeah, ask him if he used to run Mad Rats. I feel like he did. And then you remember Skate Rags came out after that, and they were like longer. They were a little bit better.
I think, I saw a lot of pros wearing those at that time, too.
I think they probably paid.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. Because I think...
Think of those skull pants. You think they weren't paying?
No, they had to.
If you were going to wear that shit, you better be getting paid. Yeah,
that's true.
What were that was BBC, right?
I think it was.
Or
was it...
Bad Boy Club, which is the same thing.
Right.
Yeah, but...
Better Board.
Yeah. Yeah. They tried to separate, and they made the BBC mean Better Board...
Company
or something like that. Yeah. But really, it was just the dude with
right.
the...
Well, I remember seeing all those stickers, like you would see the stickers with the arm flex, and he had that studded bracelet on every big truck. And then these are the same trucks that would drive by us as we were skating and go, faggot,
throw beers at us. They had an ultra hot sticker, and they had a freaking ultra hot.
I was about to, remember my 70 Beetle, the white one that I had?
You had an ultra hot sticker.
No. When I sold it to this chick, Kara, from Lutheran High North, she put an ultra hot on there. And the funny thing is...
Did she hang out with Renee?
Probably.
Renee...
from Lutheran.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember Renee's. Yeah, but she was 2 years younger. She bought that car for me. That's when I got my Nissan Hardbody pickup in 89. So, funny thing about the Bad Boy Club stickers and Ultra Hot is those dudes would fuck with us all the time, right? Big mufflers and stupid trucks, small dicks, right? They would come into Surf House because we sold the shit out of those stickers. Right?
Dude, that financed Lloyd for years.
Yeah, I know.
Ultra Hot stickers.
Ultra Hot.
Yeah, yeah. Remember the Titty Bingo?
Oh, yeah.
All those things. Yeah. And that was a band from Corpus, I believe, that was actually a bunch of lawyers and shit.
Yep.
They just did this... Titty Bingo. I still have some of those stickers.
Yeah,
from
I mean early.
Was a lawyer that rocks in that?
Yeah, probably.
In the late 80s, early 90s.
Am I getting in trouble right now?
No. Yeah.
Okay.
In the late 80s, early 90s, Titty Bingo was all over Austin. Yeah. I mean, you couldn't go anywhere without seeing a Titty Bingo sticker.
Yeah, and nobody knew what it was. Everybody knew that their buddy had one, so I got to get one too. What is it? Well,
I got a question. Okay. What is Go See Ken? Do you see those stickers everywhere?
Go See Ken.
Go See Ken. Yeah. I don't know. I don't get out a lot anymore.
Is it Ken Fillion?
I wish it was.
Go See Ken. I see it on every fucking car. I have no idea what it is.
I have not seen it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I'll have to look it up.
You're on the phone.
Yeah. Yep.
You're on the phone. Look it up, motherfucker.
I am.
Yeah, I mean, you could be doing a podcast with us right now instead of like texting people and, you know.
Hey, fuck y'all. I'm getting information. Whatever.
I told you I was going to find Cooker McGuffin's slam video, but I got sidetracked. My ADD kicked in.
What's the Go See Ken? How do you spell it?
Ken.
Just Go See Ken.
Yeah, it's on every car in Houston. I don't know what it is.
Oh, maybe it's Ken Bridge from Pink's Pizza.
I love Ken Bridge. He's awesome. He should be a sponsor of your podcast.
Well, I'd love that. Would he send us pizzas? How's that work?
God,
I'm not sure he even owns Pink's anymore. He might have sold it, but he's hooked up Turkey Jam.
Yeah, they were there this year.
Since Pink's has been open. Yeah. Donates every ounce of it.
Okay, right. So here's the answer to Go See Ken. This is what I'm doing on the phone. I'm not trying to...
haul ass to Houston and grab yourself a Go See Kent bumper sticker. Is that what you're telling me?
No, because
want to know what it is.
Go See Ken bumper sticker campaign that reflects the history on the use of the Go See Ken beginnings. The campaign states that it's a bike lane thing or something.
Boy, you did not do any justice in explaining that whatsoever.
Hold on. I've got to move more to it, dude. Do you want to do it? I'll hand it to you, motherfucker.
No, that's all right. All right. Okay. It's all right. But let's
Go See Ken on YouTube. I'm trying to find out exactly what this is. Started in 2015.
So while you're looking that up, man, I want to
it's a cycle thing.
I want to let everybody know. So we've got some Droppin' in Texas shirts that are available. We've got Droppin' in Texas stickers that are available. They're awesome. If you buy a shirt, man, shirts are $20. If you buy a shirt, throw in a sticker as well. And I'll throw in a voluptuous sticker also. Got some Chicadura shirts. Got some boards with new graphics on it. Go to Big Texas Boards at .bigcartel. BigTexasBoards.bigcartel.com if you want any of that stuff. Help us keep the podcast going, man. We love doing this. I'm not ending the podcast. I was just, we've got a little bit of lull here while Chase is going to see Ken. And so I wanted to.
Neiman's going to see
the man about a horse. So.
Yeah, it's bigtexasboards.bigcartel.com.
Yeah. So, yeah, grab a shirt, man. Large, extra large is what we got going. If you need anything special, let me know. I can order you a shirt, print some stuff up for you. Man, support us as best you can. Support skateboarding as best you can. Get yourself out there, man. Buy a Cockfight skateboard.
Support all Texas skateboarding.
Support all of Texas skateboarding, man. You know, we're not going to be here forever. And so somebody needs to step up after we're done doing all this crap. You know, I'm kidding. But you can take over the name. But what are you? So Chase is over here laughing.
So Frank from Texican just hit me back and he said, I had OP shorts in junior high. Mad Rats never had a set of those. That was for kids that had money. He said, my parents filed bankruptcy. So I had a job sacking groceries at Minimax, bought all my own clothes at the thrift store back then. Mostly had cut off work pants for shorts. I couldn't even afford real Converse Chuck Taylors. I had to buy the black market bootleg ones at Fiesta.
I love his response, man. He just, man, let me give you all the detail I can give
you. That's another dude with the memory, the detailed memory, like Carrie. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Frank, he knows what board, you know, he was riding at what time and all that. He's got some shit in his brain.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's a super... Always one of the nicest guys ever to hang out with and talk to and skate with.
Well, I met him for the first time this year at Turkey Jam. And, you know, it was really cool because, you know, as I've been screen printing boards and trying to figure all this shit out, I reached out to Frank. And I've been friends with Frank on Facebook for a long time and on Instagram. But I reached out to him, sent him a text message. And I was like, hey, man, how are you doing this? You know, and he was like, well, this is how I'm screen printing boards, etc. And it was really good to know that I wasn't fucking insane. Because I've been trying to figure out all this shit for about, I don't know, a good 6 months now. Because it's sometimes it just doesn't work and you get frustrated and you're tired. You don't want to do it anymore. But hey, man, Frank, thanks a lot for chatting with me about that. And again, beautiful thing about skateboarding, man. You pass on that knowledge, you know. So
yeah. It's funny. Like, I don't know. There's really like no rivals. You may be like kind of pretend like it. But when it comes down to it, everybody, especially Texans, like they're down for each other.
Right.
No matter what.
Mm-hmm. I love it. It's, you know, best community I've ever been a part of. Yeah. Thank you.
Best worst.
Yeah. 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 I agree. Yeah.
Where were we at? We got on Go See Ken, and I don't even know what's going on.
It's a cyclist thing. So Bobby Falcon's probably got one on his car.
Bobby Falcon doesn't even ride his bike. He runs with it.
I know. It's insane. He comes up here and races once a month or so.
I tell him, like, every photo, it's him running, carrying his bike. I'm like, that doesn't look that fun to me. I'd rather be jumping my mountain bike.
Dude,
but he's a badass, actually.
He kicks ass.
No, I mean, Bobby's built for cycling. Look at him.
Yeah.
Like, he was made for that shit.
Yeah. So, back in the 80s, we used to go out to the mall. And we used to do bad things at the mall, at the head shop.
Whippets.
Bunch of dudes.
Medusa.
Yeah, we'd steal postcards and stuff. Get away with shit. Sharpstown Mall, I guess.
Oh, I'm talking about drugs and you're talking about...
Oh, no. Well, there was some of that, too. I went to military school with this dude named Tommy, who was friends with
Bobby.
I
totally forgot about your stint.
Yeah.
In the military school.
Yeah, San Marcos was horrible.
You're a bad egg. We're sending you to military school.
Yeah, I got in trouble at Northwest Academy. Got kicked out of there. Went to Waltrip. Mom said no Waltrip. Went to Lutheran High. But had to do a little.
Boy, you stayed in the neighborhood, didn't you? You hit them all. You did the triangle.
I just didn't go to Scarborough until after high school graduation. I had to take two classes
at
summer school.
Thank God you didn't come to Scarborough. We were already terrible enough. We didn't need to do that.
Yeah, the 43rd crew, a bunch of them.
Jesus, man.
Dudes. Yeah, so where did Jeff Davis go to Scarborough or did he go to Waltrip? Because
Jeff Davis went to Waltrip.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was only at Waltrip.
Jeff Davis is 77018. I try to remind him that 092 and 018 are not the same thing.
Right.
So Easy Sevens and 092.
Right there. Yeah.
I think the bio is it.
Is it?
Yeah. Pretty sure.
Okay. That's all right.
Jeff Davis is Waltrip.
Okay.
Rad.
Yeah,
whatever.
I went to school.
And Ty has no idea what we're talking
about. So, but here's the thing. I wonder how many of our listeners will have any idea what they're talking about. No, I love it. It's fantastic. You know, these are the conversations that we all have. I mean, I get the idea. What you're saying is like somebody from Corpus Christi. Well, man, I'm from Corpus. Where are you from? Well, I'm from Corpus. No, but really. Oh, no, you're from Flower Bluff. You know, that it makes a difference.
Big Ryan's from Flower Bluff.
Yeah.
Big Ryan's one of the baddest motherfuckers that's ever walked the earth.
Big Ryan is from Flower Bluff, but he's also from Corpus. Because he lived kind of halfway in between sometimes, right?
Oh, he's not a real Bluff rat?
No, my parents live in Flower Bluff. So I've got one foot in the Bluff. So yeah. In a way, we all had one foot in the bluff when you came from Corpus Christi, man. Big Ryan, we want to get you on the show, buddy. Absolutely.
I asked him to come crash my deal today, and he said working.
Word.
He works,
yeah.
Man.
Well, yeah, he's got a
he runs a damn place. Get off to come do a podcast. Big Ryan doesn't have a lot to say.
Yeah, no.
He speaks with his actions.
Right. Well, he's hilarious. So that dude. So I have this picture of me in, like, I don't know, 1980 something, and I have a GNS Neil Blender with a snake in the lattice, right? And yeah. And Ryan, I go over to his house. I'm doing some computer stuff for him. But I go over to his house. We go into the garage, and on the wall, he has, in pristine condition, with indie, like, Stage 3 169s, that GNS Neil Blender on the wall. Wheels, full setup. And I'm like, dude, that was like my second skateboard I ever owned. I want it. He's like, hell no. He just put it back on the wall. And I was like, thanks, man. I appreciate it. But hey, Ryan, if you ever get in any dire straits, which I know you won't be.
That dude takes care of himself pretty good.
Yeah, he's doing fine. But if you ever, just need some extra money.
If you want to get rid of a dog, though, go drop it off at Ryan's house. They'll take care of it.
Does he have a lot of dogs?
Sally has a dog rescue. No, right. Believe me, sometimes they have a lot going on.
Yeah.
Dude's a saint, man.
Yeah, Ryan's a good dude. He's a real good dude. Excellent photographer as well. Excellent skateboarder.
I don't even think people know what a good skateboarder he is. The guy, him and Jason Gentry, I'm going to give them props right now. They started the whole Texas pool revolution. They drove around, this is way back, but they drove around to like West Texas and all over the place to find and drain pools. Like and Davey, I got to say Davey too. Those three guys and probably more. I don't know who else I'm leaving out, but they did that, man.
There's a bunch of dudes here that do that. Wes is always doing that.
And one time in Houston, we had a lot of pools because there was a flooded neighborhood that had a lot of pools. And Ryan came down, and there was a pool that wasn't so good, and we started draining. I was like, "Oh, this sucks." And Ryan goes, "Dude, I'll just sleep better at night knowing the water's out of it." That was that. So he really said that, and we really drained a really shitty pool. And
you skated?
We took one run in it, and that was that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
There was a pool in Corpus on Yucca Street, and it was pretty gnarly. I mean, super steep transition, like 4 feet vert. It was crazy. But Ryan skated that. I mean, I watched him. I was like, yeah, I'm not going in that pool. And he just ripped it apart. So
he's like a ballerina, giant ballerina.
Giant ballerina.
There's some good footage. Rob Meyer posted some awesome footage of him and Ryan, and actually, so I think Hubba was in that footage as well from Spa. I think like maybe one of the last years it was around.
Another giant ballerina.
Yeah,
Hubba.
Yeah.
I gotta say thanks to Hubba, man, because after I slammed, he went home and he got me something to get me through the next day. Appreciate it,
yeah. Dude. You just Hubba. Like. Put him on blast. Is that what you call that?
Mm-hmm. Well, he had surgery recently, and he had a couple of,
helpers
left over, and he offered, and I was very, yes. Well, and you were in need of something to help me walk.
And you were like super like, nah, dude, I ain't taking that till we get back to the hotel. Right. I mean, you held it forever. You were like, I saw you at one point, you were looking at it. You're like, no, I need this to sleep.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And it worked. So yeah. I laid on that bed.
So
it over and woke up in the same position. Time to go to the contest.
Yeah. You tacoed the blanket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where are we at in this thing?
We're at about an hour 18.
No, but I'm like, where are we at?
It doesn't matter.
Anywhere. Okay. Where do you want to be?
It doesn't matter. Take it. So I was gonna talk about.
I rode up to my bike at Easy 7, and that's pretty much where. Yeah. That's it.
Well, so at last weekend at Easy 7, where we went to the Turkey Jam, so we stopped off at the vert ramp the night before, and Chase took a gnarly slam. You were there.
It was bad.
Yeah. It was
right after Joey's.
Yeah, right after Joey's.
Oh, no, it was back to back, like body checks.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty gnarly, man. We had a good time. We had a really good time. Mike said that this is the first year that you didn't run it. It was the first year you didn't run it?
I did not run it. I mean, I'm semi-involved, and I give guidance.
You oversee.
Oversee. Yeah, I'm an overseer at this point. Aaron Estrada, who's just a rad dude, took it over, wanted to take it over, enjoys doing it. It's very stressful. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
People don't realize how stressful it is.
It's you're basically organizing and putting on a contest.
And Dozer is his right hand man, and Dozer loves that place.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a perfect fit. They killed it.
What goes into something like that, man, from like your past experiences?
The main thing is the relationships that you have with the companies who help you with product. Because if you don't have, the raffle is huge. You got to have prizes. There's a lot of entries. And if you don't have anything to give away, you're not going to have that big of an event.
Right.
And so you got to keep these relationships every year after year after year. And, skateboarding is not doing good as a whole.
No.
It's saturated. There's a lot of companies. Like, it's really hard for these people to give up stuff, but they continue to do it. And guys like Johnny Watkins, who got hurt, always make sure and, like, hooks us up really strong. All the companies that help us, it's awesome. So that's the most important part, is getting all that stuff together. But then you got to get it all together and kind of prepare for the day. And
like herding cats.
It's a lot of herding cats. You know, you deal with skateboarders. Just trying to have a session is hard sometimes. So it's a lot, man. And the expectations are big for that event.
Well, dude, I just want to say thanks for your effort for the past 20 plus years, man.
I'll tell you what, I did it for Carolyn Lloyd. Yeah. That's what I do it for.
Right.
And I told Aaron when he took it over, the only way you can take this is it's always going to be the Surf House.
Yeah.
No matter what, even if they can't go down there, it's the Surf House Easy 7 Turkey Jam. That's the bottom line, and it's going to stay that.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And again, it comes down to, that shop's been there since 67. I mean, and talking about the contribution to skateboarding that individuals make. So, Lloyd
for
and Carol.
Those two not being skateboarders, they've contributed so much to that.
Lloyd and Carol?
Yeah.
Lloyd surfed when they were in California.
Yeah, he's a surfer for sure. Yeah. But he's just had to struggle and work his whole life, man.
Cool story.
It's dedication. It's 100% and more from those two.
They are fully invested.
They've weathered every storm.
Right.
Right now is a perfect example of that. Yeah. There's not a lot of money in this game.
Right. So when we were there, we'd stop by Surf House when we were leaving after the gym. And I gave a couple of boards and a couple of shirts. We gave Lloyd a Drop It in Texas shirt. Mm-hmm. And I gave Carol for the Soul Sisters 3 Chica Dura shirts. And Carol was like, man, I really like these shirts. These are awesome. And so I just happened to have a specialty Chica Dura shirt that was different than all the other ones. So all the other ones were a black print on a red shirt, and this one was a white print on a red shirt. And I went out of the truck and I walked back in, because she was just gushing about how much she loved those shirts. And I gave her a shirt, man, and she just smiled and was like, I'm going to wear this, and those girls are going to be jealous. She didn't say it that way. She goes, those girls are going to want this. So, man, thanks Lloyd and Carol, man, for everything that you've done for skateboarding.
Now, I don't think everybody knows like what they've been through, man. That they rule. That's all I can say, man. They've been there for me since I started skateboarding. Like, I remember going in there begging for grip tape because I had no money or whatever. And at that time, Frankie worked there a lot, but they would give me like scrap grip tape. Like, oh, we have, it was back in the weird die cut grip tape days, and they would just give you scraps and whatever. Here, you can, if you needed something, they would give you something that somebody left in there. You could buy one truck, like all this stuff that you'd never be able to do anywhere else.
Yeah, because I remember those days. You could buy one truck, one wheel, three wheels, one color.
You could, back then at Surf House, you could buy.
Remember when you could order the Vans custom? Anything.
Yeah, man.
That was the coolest shit.
Yes, it was awesome. They did that, and we would take orders, and everybody back then wore the black lace up. Not the old schools, but the I don't even know what they're called.
I think they call it, they call it the Era or something.
Era,
like that.
Era Pro.
It was interesting.
Back then, they were just Vans, like style number 36 or whatever it was called.
Yeah. Remember the Chukka boot? I always wore like red ones.
I wore the Chukka boots, and then when they wore out, you could cut a piece off the side and then lace it to your shoe and make like an ollie patch to make your next pair last longer.
Yeah. Well, funny thing about Frank Savaggio is that he loved doing those custom grip tape jobs. Like, if somebody came in and there were 3 boards,
he really liked yellow and green, dude.
Dude,
He wouldn't let us tape the boards. He's like, nope, nope, you got to double, you got to roll the tape, you got to lay it on, you're going to draw it out if they want a special cut around the Powell logo on the top. Yeah, and we could not do. And then when he left, you know, we were filing them and cutting them off, man. And
Lloyd still won't let you rasp around, like, if you're gripping a board there. Right, he wants you to do it, like, with a sharp razor. And I'm like, fuck.
Well, Lloyd was telling us a story about somebody that came in, and, like, it's generational, right? So they come in, and, like, I bought my first skateboard here at Surf House.
Lloyd put it together.
I want you to put my son's skateboard together. And then, like, some dudes come in, and, like, only Lloyd can put their boards together for him.
Yeah.
Which is getting tougher and tougher. Yeah. But he's still doing it, man. I love it.
Yeah. Man, he had a lot of energy. He looked great. He was cracking jokes, and I'll tell you one of them after the
yeah, you can't put his jokes are not podcast acceptable for sure.
That's funny. That's good stuff, man.
That's hilarious. So what are you going to do with Cockfight, man? Where are you taking it?
Yeah, what's the future?
Where's it going? What's the future of Cockfight?
The future is so bright. Like, we're going nothing but up.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
No, it's probably just going to stay in my garage like it is right now.
A lot of guys in town ride Cockfight boards. Yeah. I have a lot of friends who have, they also have voluptuous boards. I skate one board at a time typically. And then when a new one, I put that one back. But man, like, you've got a few different setups, you know.
I mean, there's so many good friends in skateboarding, you know, the Wes Hunters and the Ropers, and they're just loyal, good friends. Like, and they'll always be.
They support your company.
They're going to support your cause, even if maybe they wanted something different.
Right.
They do it because they're cool like that. But, yeah, I'm stoked. Seeing that board today at the park, that in the wild, I loved it.
Yeah, Leland. Yeah, man, dude, Leland rips. God, that dude's awesome. I love watching him skate.
I've been sending him boards for a couple of years, and I never knew who it was until today.
Cool. Yeah, I'm going to post that little clip of him.
Yeah, so it's interesting because it wasn't until they finished Wells Branch that we ran into Leland, because I never saw him at Brushy. So I don't know. He might have been skating Round Rock or Pflugerville or something.
I met him at Wells Branch.
Yeah. And, man, I like his flow. He's got that old school style, man. It's really awesome to watch him skate.
Slash grinds. He slides into them.
Frontside and backside.
Backside.
Oh, he was killing it. And I've always wondered who that was, because I send boards to that name, and then I saw him today. I was like, that's the guy, you know, that guy's rips. Rad.
Yeah.
No, I'm stoked he rips, too. That helps.
Man, I haven't had that experience yet. I haven't, like, sent boards just randomly to, like, you know, get a customer, but, like, hey, man, send me a board. I haven't had that happen. I know everybody who has one of my boards, and that's just because it's local here in Austin, but that's rad, man.
Well, you've got, there's a Voluptuous in Canada now.
Yeah.
And there is this dude who you donated a Voluptuous.
I donated a board to the raffle. Yeah. Man, that board, dude, that looks good in that light. Jeez.
And that dude was super stoked.
I know that guy.
It is
Jerry. Is that Jerry?
What's his?
I heard. I gave Dozier a board. Like, hey, man, just go ahead and put this part of the raffle, man. You know, and I thought it was pretty cool that dude got it. I like that. A big dude got a big board.
I know that guy.
Team Fat Worldwide.
Team Fat.
With two T's.
With two T's. I've seen that on, like,
drinking
the
your
social
beer
media.
Since '87.
That's good shit, right there.
Yeah, I forgot his name, but as soon as he got the board, I snapped a pic and linked it up here, man. He was super stoked.
But, you know, the number one way we got our boards out there is doing the guest model thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing who you can get if you just ask.
Yeah.
What did you do?
Guest model.
Guest models.
Oh, yeah.
Like, where they don't really ride for you, but you, like, make them a run of boards, and you tell them right off the bat, like, we have no money, so we'll give you five boards or whatever. Yeah. And it's worked really well as far as getting it out there, because people like a certain guy, like that John Comer board right over there. Like, people like that board. They like John, and they bought that board, and they like that graphic.
I love that graphic. That graphic's rad.
That's our first artist, Paul Newman. He was he's really good at that style. Like, he killed that. And I think we possibly are going to do something.
Tribute.
They're working it out over there in Dallas. I'm not part of that, but all they got to do is say the word and we'll make it.
Right.
I mean, so hopefully there's something going on with that. And we'll donate, if we do it, we'll donate the money to the Shriners Hospital, I think is what it's called. And mm-hmm. John always credits them with, like, they got him his first leg, and they pushed him to push the leg.
Right.
Like, and that's pretty much how he became who he became.
That's incredible. And,
so it's not a lot of money. I mean, we'd make a few $100, but we'd donate it to them if we do it.
Right.
That's rad.
I mean, a dollar is a dollar when it's donated.
Yeah. You know, at some point we're going to, I'd like to do an auction for a cancer charity, for a local charity.
Here. Yeah.
You've talked to me about that before, but you never followed through.
Well, because I wanted to do a run of boards that, and we'll figure it out.
Can't you make the boards right here in this garage?
No.
Not that many.
Not that many. I mean, what he does, I made one of my, he pressed them all. I cut one, sanded one, tried to route it, first time. It's tricky, man. I use those tools all the time, my whole life. But doing it on a skateboard with a helicon cave and shit.
It's
got to
be so precise,
too. It's like you got to do it a couple of times. You're going to screw it up. So, it takes, first off, it's 24 hours.
Minimum.
Before anything happens, before you pull the board out of the press. So, if we were to make a run of... We'd have to.
If we were going to do 50 boards, it would probably take like a year.
Yeah. Take forever.
Yeah, I did a run of 10 boards once, and that took me 2 months just to do 10 boards. So, because it's like you said, I'll leave it in the press for 24 hours, and then I let it dry for another minimum 5 days.
Yeah, people don't understand that when they're like, "Dude, hook me up with the board."
Right.
It's such a process, man. Well, the whole situation.
It's that old statement. Do you want to see how the sausage is made? Right? Most people don't want to know how the sausage is made.
You definitely don't want to see what's in it.
I've made sausage before in Baytown. I made some sausage on one day. It was gnarly.
What were you doing in Baytown?
Right. Well, I lived in Baytown before I moved over to...
I didn't know you then.
No, it was when I was in sixth grade, I guess.
Why were you making sausage?
Well, we got sent over to my buddy's uncle's house, and he had acquired a bunch of meat.
Was this not at a factory? You made sausage in somebody's garage?
It was in a tiny smokehouse out behind us. Okay. It was all legit, man. It was all sausage that,
Dude, I was at a legit sausage factory.
Man. He had the vice grinder, right? So you shove it through, and then the
casing.
The intestine.
The casing.
Yes, and you... Dude, spin it, and then you hang it, dude.
It smells disgusting.
We wanted to skate. We didn't want to do that, but we were forced into, stuffing.
Dude, I'm going to make you, the next board that comes out of my press, I'm going to make you a graphic, and it's a big meat grinder with sausage coming out of it. That's going to be rad.
Yeah. What do you call it?
What do I call it?
Yeah.
Sausage.
Sausage.
I'm just going to call it Chase Sausage.
Rap.
Chase and Sausage. How about that?
Yeah, man.
God damn.
All right, let's do it. We can auction that one off. Yeah, it'd be the only sausage board out there.
Okay, back to this whole thing.
Yeah, back to that was fucking hilarious.
Are we getting back on track? Are we?
Yeah, we're, man.
Whatever you want.
It's a roller coaster. So the last question was, where is Cockfight going? What's the future look like?
I have a feeling it's going to stay where it's at.
Yeah.
I don't have any big aspirations, or I'm not trying to grow the brand or whatever the cliche shit that people say.
Marketing bullshit. Yeah.
I like to make skateboards that I think are cool for people that I think are cool.
Yeah.
And I like to ride skateboards, and that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see it going anywhere else.
Yeah. The only thing I see where as you say that, I'm thinking to myself, I'm always thinking like, oh man, well, I could do this and I could do that and I could do this and I could do that. And then I always come up with the last statement of, yeah, but who the fuck's going to buy it?
And I'm old and tired. Really? I just want to make skateboards for me and my friends.
That's really what it comes down to. Yeah. That's rad. I like that. I like that we arrived at the same thing simultaneously.
It's the truth, man. Yeah. I mean, skateboarding is the truth. Like, that's all. I don't care about that. I'm not trying to be anything other than that.
I was talking to after we had that little session at Brushy the other night, we went and had a beer, and I was talking to, I don't know if I was talking to Wes or if I was talking, it might have been Harley, I'm not too sure, But like,
damn, talk about two opposite ends of the spectrum,
right? But some, you know, Harley was, yeah, it was Harley because we were talking about boards, and you know, for me, it comes down to if I'm not doing something, I will. By the way my brain works, I'll probably go fucking crazy. So I'm always doing something, and you know, that's not the only reason I make skateboards, but it's one of the reasons I make skateboards. Just, you know, busy hands, happy heart, that kind of shit. So
yeah, and the, what is it, the idle hands do the devil's work.
That's right. Yeah, it's the truth, man. It is absolutely the truth.
But back to the question, we're not going anywhere. Staying in my garage.
I like it.
Much to my girlfriend's dismay. It's not even my garage, my living room. And she's like, oh my God, are you going to ever grow up and like have a grown up house?
And then you went and bought another dirt bike.
Yeah, so. Probably not. More dirt bikes.
There's
more,
your answer.
More mountain bikes, more whatever. More fun shit.
Yeah, there's a difference, you know?
Yeah, well, look around.
I've had people go, when are you going to stop trying to make it in music? And I'm like, if I'm playing gigs and I'm having a good time, I'm making it. That's it for me. I'm not trying to get another record deal or anything like that, man. It's just something that, it's just what I do.
You've done more in music than most musicians, like by far.
Got lucky for a minute. Yeah.
You've been recorded more than once. Mm-hmm. You're doing just
we were just
fine.
We were talking about Crazy Kills Killed Mingus last, but I can't even say it right. Crazy Killed Mingus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I started that band with Alan and Roderick, and then I left the band after our first couple gigs, and they went and did really awesome things. And They blew up for a couple years. Yeah, mm-hmm. they were you know, that post punk skate rock kind of thing.
I have that Steady Head Faster. I think it's called the cassette tape.
Mm-hmm. You have the cassette.
It's on my bookshelf.
Rad.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'll send you a photo of it.
Yeah, do it. That's crazy.
Yeah, I have it. I don't have the other one, though, the good one, the better one. The good
one. Oops.
Alan, they're all great, by the way. You're the best.
Yeah, I love Alan, man. Yeah. He hit me up the other day and
the
sent
Houston
me a
Perry Farrell, we used to call him.
Yeah, man, because that's what our favorite band in high school was, Jane's Addiction. Right. When they hit, we were like,
no shit, I didn't even notice.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we wanted to be.
I didn't
my
notice
favorite drummer
all.
Was Stephen Perkins for a while, you know? That was, and then Alan dyed his eyebrows green and regretted it for like 6 years because it didn't go away for a really long
time.
Oh, my God. No, y'all were pretty much the Houston Jane's Addiction.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
What was the one kid that took your spot?
David Garcia.
Yeah. With the
He's very accomplished.
First dude
musician.
I ever knew with a
eyebrow
face piercing.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a new development.
Well, I had the nose rings at Surf House, right?
I had two
of those and earrings and stuff. And
God, you really
Ronald
did you?
McDonald hair.
Yeah. We were putting holes in ourselves, dyeing our hair. Like, I had holes in private parts that didn't last very long. It's just not, wasn't for me, you know?
It's not for everybody.
What does that do?
I don't know. I never did anything with it.
I
never did anything. The problem is that I was surfing a lot, and in the winter, that's our best surf is in the winter. Wetsuits were tied up in there, and that thing just didn't jive with extreme sports.
So take notes, y'all.
Yeah,
because the surfing.
Don't do that. I mean, especially if you're 47, don't go doing it now. Oh. There's a bunch of dudes who did it back in the day, and don't talk about it because it ain't cool. It wasn't cool. Unless you're a tattoo artist or a piercer, man.
I had an earring once.
Yeah,
that's about as far as I went with that whole deal.
I wear zero jewelry at this point and have for 6 years. I decided
got my watch and that's all I got. But that's to make sure that I'm not having a heart attack at some point in my life.
Right.
So it's not going to tell me, but you know.
Mine always tells me that.
It'll
my
tell
heart
you if
rate
you're getting
too
close.
Low.
Yeah, mine tells me it's too low too. Yeah, my average heart rate's like 48 beats per minute.
We're there together.
Yeah, I like it. That's actually probably a good thing.
I think it's probably good until it just stops working and you got to get a pacemaker or something.
Pacemaker.
Every time Carol revs up the microwave, I piss my pants and forget who I am for 15, 20 minutes. So it's a quote from one of the vacation movies. Yeah. So.
Oh, that was Uncle, what's his name?
Yeah, it was Randy Quaid. It was Randy Quaid. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That sounds like a Randy
Uncle
Quaid.
Eddie.
Uncle
Eddie.
Real tomato ketchup, Eddie?
Real, yeah, yeah. Shitter was full.
Well, is there anything that you want to promote or any other shout-outs to anyone? Yeah. Or
not big into the promoting thing, but you guys, You are killing it. I'm stoked on what you guys are doing.
This is a lot of fun, man. I really enjoy doing this, man.
Oh, let's hype up Brett Roper. We all love Brett Roper.
Texas Glitter.
Mm-hmm. There is no other.
He said he was going to come crash this, but he flaked like normal.
Fucking kissed me the other night.
Yeah, he kissed me.
He likes to do that.
I was like, dude, shave first, okay? Or at least grow a full beard so it's a little softer.
Or brush your teeth or something.
Anyway, I don't know, man. I love to still do this with people that I love doing it with.
Well, dude, and I want you to come back.
Hooking up people that I like. I don't like new kids, as you can obviously tell that my skate team or whatever you call it is like, other than Wiggins and my kid, they're all like 40.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm not really hyped on any like new kids.
Yeah.
Joey Specht, he's 30.
Yeah.
He's like a new kid.
He earned it. He earns it. Yeah, man. That again, like, hey, man, Joey, get better.
Adam Young, favorite skateboarder. Dude, he's like 45 or something.
Yeah. Love that guy.
Yeah, the best.
I remember when he got here, we were all just like, where's this dude from?
69 Bull.
Fuck.
That was some shit you'll never see again in your life.
And if you, I've skated with him once at Taylor. Were you there?
Yeah,
I was there.
You were there, dude.
That was after I hurt my wrist. And I was just there with my camera.
He just flows. He doesn't.
Michael Sieben used to write I forget what it was in Thrasher, but he had like a, before he was an editor, he just wrote like a column.
I just found out the other night. I pulled out Thrasher magazine and I looked on the inside and went to reading, and he is second fucking name.
Yeah, he's not the editor in chief, but he's the editor.
Yes.
But anyway, so Sieben used to write an article, and it was kind of funny, but he would always put Adam Young in it because he's like, he's every skater's favorite skater. Yeah. Like, he's that dude.
Yep.
So big ups to, and he makes incredible art. He builds incredible wooden stuff.
Roper and I have worked with him a couple of times.
He's just a bad motherfucker all the way around, dude.
He does. There's guys nothing everything he touches. Does,
it's he does all it well. Perfect. Yeah. Right. He's that guy. So, I don't know.
And that's your mentality, too, is pretty much if you're going to do it the best you can or do it the most correct
Big Ryan, way. You know? Big Ryan, Big Ryan's, Big Ryan's my other favorite skateboarder, and Chris Schlag. I don't know if y'all know Schlag.
Well, he's cowboy hat and boots at the contest every
he'll
year.
Skate in that.
Yeah.
Wow. But,
yeah.
Anyway, that guy rules. He's one of my best friends. I don't know, man. I got nothing to promote.
Yeah. Right on.
If you like our shit, buy Cockfight boards, please.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you buy them, we can get more made. If you don't buy them, we don't get more made.
That's why you're doing it. That's why you're doing it. You're continuing to fund the habit. And
it's a break.
Love,
at most, it's a break even proposition. I mean, and the only reason I do it is so I can, again, I can stay. I can get in my garage. I can work with my hands.
And
I sit at a fucking desk.
You got skateboards to skate that you like.
Yeah, right. Well, we talked about this last night. You know, when you know, I was out of skateboarding after I hurt myself. But I was out of skateboarding for about 10 years. When I got back, I couldn't find a board that I could skate. I was like, what the fuck is all this crap? And so
that's how I got into your boards. Yeah, I saw yours and was like, that's a big board. I have 11 and a half shoe. That's great. Like,
what are you trying to say? Is that got implications?
Of what? Me having
your
a
shoe
big,
size
big being, shoe? Yeah. I have a big foot, big shoe.
Yeah, big socks, big gloves. That's the way it works. Right. I love that joke. God damn it. Thanks for setting that one up, Mike.
He's always trying to remind us how big his foot is.
Yeah, my foot is.
You got
huge.
A big foot.
Oh my god. Foot. Oh fuck. I love this. Yeah. Well. Anyhow. But that's the whole point, right? I mean, you do what you love. Skateboarding is. Thank you. It's given me a lot, and
I think it's given us all a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, we're sitting right here.
We're sitting here
50
talking about
years
it.
Old,
yeah.
And we're sitting right here talking about skateboarding. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just what it is.
Road hard.
Yeah.
Very
all
much.
Of us.
Yes.
Injuries, permanent injuries, memories, permanent memories.
Yeah. I was talking to Wes. Wes said it the other night. He's like, hey, man, just as long as you can roll around on a skateboard, that's a damn good thing.
Coming from Wes, that dude, he rips.
Yeah, he does.
He gets better the older he gets.
It seems like it, man.
He didn't rip that hard before. Like, he rips crazy hard right now.
Because about 3 years ago, he'd come out to Brushy, and, yeah, man, he'd rip. But lately, like, every time he comes out there, it's like he's just
style.
More in. Like,
you're not supposed to get better into your, as you get older in your
40s. Yeah, there's a cutoff somewhere.
I don't know where it is.
Well,
I think 42, I felt pretty good.
Yeah.
And then it went downhill after that.
Well, from a professional skater standpoint, Bucky Lassick has gotten...
He's a phenomenon.
Oh, my God. Dude, it's like a freak of nature.
That's not normal.
I mean, I was watching him. I watched him do a switch frontside invert. I mean, doing a frontside invert going your normal direction is ridiculous, but to do it going backwards...
I saw that.
That's ridiculous.
It's insane.
I feel like I got a better chance at doing a switch one just thinking about it right now than I do a regular one. My right arm's much stronger.
Stronger. Yeah, that might be the reason.
I feel like because I got a pussy wrist on my left arm. So, yeah, that might work for me.
Pussy wrist.
Yeah, I got one of those too.
Well, I guess I have a robotic pussy wrist.
So
it goes off.
That's
at concerts.
Schlag talk. Schlag always tell me.
Well, that's the one with all the
pussy wrist.
That's the one with all the metal in it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right in front of the microphone. Fucking dork, I love you.
Oh, I know what. One last thing I do want to say is that if you're a parent and your kid skates and he'll skate with you, those are the best memories you'll ever have in your entire life. Like, my kid's 19 now and he doesn't want that much to do with me, but from 2 and a half when he started skateboarding till he was 17, we skateboarded together every single day. Right. And that was the greatest like part of my life.
Wow.
So
I didn't get that. My son skated until he broke his nose at the skate park of
Austin.
Well,
some of them don't
quit.
You can't make them do it either.
Right.
My kid was he was going to do it. I mean, I don't know why, but he was just going to do it.
Yeah.
And I will cherish those moments forever.
Like, and he will too. And he, as
he
gets,
won't
as
say
he
it right
gets,
now.
No, he won't. He's what is
I'm
he?
A
20,
pain in his
19,
ass. He's
20?
19. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when he's sitting around, when he's sitting around, when he's 40 years old, talking to his friends that still skate, probably, hopefully, he'd be like, "Yeah, man, if it wasn't for my dad, I wouldn't be here."
Well, yeah. I mean, he's
once
gonna, you know,
he wanted to skate like for real. I was like, "Well, let's go on trips.
Let's
do
go,
all this
yeah.
stuff." My buddy Lewis told me one time. He goes, "I want to be your kid on spring break every year. Like that's my aspirations to be because." I'd be like, "Matthew, where do you want to go? Oh, let's go to Oregon. Let's go to Wyoming or wherever just to go skate." And, you know, I'll never get that back because he's grown up.
Right.
But, man, that was some good times.
Yeah. I was so excited when my son started skating, and then I was so bummed when he quit.
You still but got that.
We went to motocross.
Well, there you go. That's pretty rad, too.
We did that every weekend, every other weekend for 4 years.
I don't think people realize how gnarly motocross is.
I tried it, and yeah, you can keep it, man. If anybody who can do that, my God.
You think skateboarders have injuries?
Oh, no.
These kids are like 20.
Right.
And
they're 80-year-old bodies.
They're broke. They've already had everything done. Oh.
Well, let me run this by you real quick because we both ride, you know, trails, whatever, both have motorcycles.
I call that my other skateboard, my dirt bike.
So the way that I justified jumping and riding on a track and trying to, you know, clear doubles, I never made any triples because I just didn't have big enough cojones for that.
I've
the
done
doubles,
some back in the 90s, but not lately. It didn't happen now.
The places out here were gnarly. Like Del Valle Motocross, it's called something. What do they call that? It's the biggest jump. I never did it. A friend of mine did it, cased it on the landing, and it injured his pelvis and hips and legs and everything. So, no. Mm. But if you go skateboard for 8 hours in a day, how many times are you going to fall? A lot. A
lot.
A lot.
Well, you go end every run with a fall just about.
Right.
I mean, right?
Pretty much.
Unless you pull pop out that many
unless
times.
Unless you pull something you were trying to do.
Unless
and
you're
then
Bucky
after
Lasik,
you
pop out every time. But
when you go ride motorcycles for 8 hours, you're the probability that you're going to have a hard crash is not very probable, right?
No,
it's
but
possible.
if you do, not good.
Right. So I would say I crashed 3 times in 4 years on a motorcycle. Basically did the same injury as I did on the vert ramp the other night, and then I broke this big toe twice on the same jump. I don't know how that happened, but that's how I justified motocross. It's like, well, I can go ride. And the bikes pretty much drive themselves as long as you kind of know what you're doing. You got to grip the bike.
Well,
with your
as long
legs,
as there's no
know.
Whiskey throttle or grab a handful of front brake.
Yep.
In a panic, that's the worst.
Yep. I typically never used my front brake for that reason because sometimes you know mine was set on my last 450. It was so sensitive.
So I just stayed the fuck off.
Oh, those big, like, 18-inch disc or whatever, they stop quick now.
Yep.
Boy, we're really dropping ends going motocross now.
It's cool, man.
Well, I think, but it all goes hand in hand, though, man. I mean, you know,
skateboarding first, or BMX, skateboarding, and then motocross.
Maybe that's what you graduate to. But, you know, my question is how do you go over jumps with your pussy wrist? You know, because that would, I mean, that impact for me, this wrist would collapse.
Well, you don't ever land flat.
I disagree. Like, you're never like that. You're kind of up with your elbows.
Okay.
And so you're not really like
that. So it's not like this.
Never like that.
Okay.
Because if you land like that, you're going to whiskey throttle.
That's goon riding anyway. Yeah.
Goon riding. Well, yeah, I do push Mongo. Thanks.
And you don't ever land on anything flat unless you overshoot a jump. You land on a landing.
Right.
Which is what you do, though, when you first try to make it.
You go too far.
Or you go too far. OJ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Over jump. I suppose that was I don't know what that means.
Casey Miller. Do y'all know Casey Miller?
Casey Miller.
Why does that sound familiar?
He's from Houston, I think, or Kingwood. He lived in Austin for a long time. Johnny Miller's his brother. I don't know if y'all know Johnny Miller. He lives here. But Casey's a badass motocross rider. Yeah. He lives in Corpus now. He's got a concrete mini ramp in his backyard.
Then that's why I know his name. Bowl. Yeah.
Like, it's pretty sick. He's the coolest dude, but he is a super sick motocross rider.
Wow.
And BMXer. Like, he's one of those dudes. I think he's good at everything.
Talented all around. Yeah. Everything. Mm-hmm.
And he has like a size 11 and a half foot. Like you.
Like me? I don't know.
Well, I got a 13.
Foot brothers.
So. But anyway, Casey Miller is sick. He rides again, and I want to go ride with him. He's killing it. Well, you could go skate his bowl and go ride motocross.
Next time I go down to Corpus, I'll have to. I'll just knock on his door. Mike told me to show up.
So. Oh, just hit him up. He's cool.
Yeah. There's a couple of backyard bulls now in Corpus, man. Casey Miller and a dude named Casey Varden.
They're best homies.
Yeah.
And
Casey's place is coming along real nice, man. They've just added that one section. But, man, he's spending a lot of time with his VWs.
I think he's big into that right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He keeps getting rid of all the ones I think are cool, and then he gets another one. I'm like, damn, dude, I like that one.
Yeah.
Remember all Lloyd's VWs, man?
Dude, what was that place he owned? He had the place that did the bugs.
Bugport in Pasadena.
Yeah.
He sold his share of that place at one point.
Susan, was she your girlfriend at that time when she told that?
No, Alan dated her. I never dated Susan. Dated her.
That's I got confused with your love triangle.
That's
and
how
all.
I got the job at Surf House. Well, Alan's married to Jennifer, who was my girlfriend in high school. So
yeah, I knew
whatever.
There was a bizarre love triangle.
Yeah, well, it was never really a triangle. It was more of a Star Trek emblem. That makes sense.
I guess
it wasn't
connected on one
the
side.
The geometry was not complete.
It wasn't connected on one
Let's
side.
Let's just say that. That's funny.
Right.
But anyway, her car was sick.
The Carmagia.
Yeah.
She had the
square back.
Yeah, she had a She had a couple of different ones.
I don't know what it was.
She had the fastback. The tan fastback.
Yeah.
The square back is still in existence. It's in Australia right now.
Remember the red bug that Lloyd drove?
The one with the purple
with the Porsche rims on it.
And the supercharger.
Yeah. I saw it
recently. The punch panel doors at the bottom. Boom,
boom. I saw it recently at a bug show in Tomball. I sent a picture and sent it to Lloyd.
Well, Danny Garcia bought one.
Yeah, he did.
I don't remember. I don't know which one he bought. But
not the red one.
No. Yeah.
So as you get older, you're going to find that not only do you collect skateboards, but you collect cars, you collect guitars.
I can't afford any of that stuff.
Man,
skateboards is a
I mean, I haven't bought a new guitar in a long time. But he and I went to Guitar Center the other day, and I was like, dude, do not let me buy that guitar. And I pointed at it, and he's like, okay, dude, I won't let you. And what did I do? I walked in, I picked it up, I started playing. I was like, dude, I want this guitar.
Which one?
That Blue Fender Meteor is what it's called.
And then you almost bought that.
That Taylor, that $2,500 Taylor. Yeah, I can't be spending that kind of money. Dude,
not on a guitar.
Don't do it.
I can't. I don't have that kind
of
money.
You got three guitars over there.
And they all work great. And a couple of ukuleles, too. So, but yeah, one thing leads to another. So, as it usually does.
But, damn, I feel like Kerry Jackson. We've taken this thing a whole lot of places.
Man, yeah, we that's the thing about skateboarding, man. It goes. I mean, it takes you a lot of places to begin with. And so, I mean, you know, we talk about this a lot as well. You know, there's things that I learned through skateboarding that I may not have learned. You know, like how to build shit. And
carpentry, for
carpentry
sure.
Carpentry is one of them. I mean, I grew up in a blue-collar family, so I was going to learn that at some point, but I never wanted to go, like, help my dad like build the shed, you know.
Dude, back to being the get off my lawn guy. Yeah. These kids are never going to learn that because right. they don't do shit. They just go to the skate park and rip.
Yeah. Well, you know.
They didn't have to learn how to build ramps or.
When your first trick is a 540 instead of a grind, that's just too far.
That's a dude. Yeah.
Anyway, I still do my kind of skateboarding. I still like my kind of skateboarding, which I'm pretty selfish like that.
Dude, yeah, I like how bad I suck and how much I fall.
But you've been doing the same sucking for a long time. Right. Exactly. Good. Like, that's your sucking.
Well, I've got three tricks I might be able to do in a day. One of them's turning.
That is a trick.
Or grinding, if you will. Maybe we could call it two tricks in one. Yeah. Caught a little grind this morning. I was very happy about that on my triumphant return back to Wells Branch Skate Park. I was a little nervous, man, at first.
I was definitely nervous my first time
back. I was a little bit hungover.
Yeah. Well, and that park is small and it's not forgiving at all. I mean, it'll jump up and bite you.
I feel like it's got like really big trannies for really short.
It does. It does. I need to go measure them, but those two walls that creates the little half pipe right there on that one side where the capsule is, I need to go measure it. Cause we told them we wanted 7.5 foot transitions for that.
It feels bigger than that.
I think they're probably at least 8 foot transitions because if you drop in and you go up to do a 50-50 or an axle stall, your momentum pushes you so far back over, you have to turn like way early to get up on top of that properly. But yeah, I think those transitions are a lot bigger than what they appear to be.
But you could skate there from your house and it's concrete.
I know.
That's pretty sick.
And I have a ramp in my backyard.
You do got a lot of kids with scooters and shit you got to deal with there, but
yeah,
it's still sick. It's in your neighborhood.
It's right down the street. I can't complain really.
I would love that if that was in my neighborhood. I got nothing.
Yeah. Well,
I got a little quarter pipe that we built in my backyard. A concrete one off my patio.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you told me
I know the one. Yeah. And it comes with an attack dog and it breaks your fucking toe.
Back to the dog again.
Dude, I never sent you the pictures of it. Of the bite, did I?
So what you're telling me is that you fell doing a trick on a concrete quarter pipe in Michael's backyard, and then you basically got kicked while you were down?
No.
What happened?
He flew through the air as I was approaching the quarter pipe to do a frontside grind because you said I had to do a frontside grind, and Roper said I had to do a frontside grind. So if you could imagine me going drunk up for a frontside grind, I'm goofy foot. The dog just leaps out of nowhere and attaches himself to the back of my calf.
Full circle. I got that dog from Big Ryan.
He was on.
it was a rescue dog. That's good.
Yeah. So, and on that run, because he was on my leg as I was turning, he let go and went off one direction. I went the other direction and broke my toe.
Did you get that frontside grind?
I don't remember. I didn't pull it. I fell.
I don't think so.
I fell because I busted it. Busted ass.
So next time you tell that story, lie.
Let's go back. No. Yeah. Nobody should have been. Nobody should have been on a skateboard at this point.
Yeah, we had margaritas and Mexican food. We were full, and then we got back to your place. We played dominoes all night.
Yeah, no one should have been on a skateboard.
It happens,
including the dog.
Yeah, that's good shit.
Oh, and I guess what board did I have? I had that Thornhill at that time. It's got teeth marks all down both sides.
That's right.
I went after it. It was funny. And his name's Ollie.
I see. That's fitting.
Mm-hmm.
He was named Ollie when I got him. Oh. It was serendipitous. I was supposed to get him.
More fitting.
That is more fitting. Yeah. It was fate.
It was fate.
So, hey, man. We're gonna bring this one to a close.
We done?
I think
I'm not even sure we talked about.
Dude, you know what? You think that, but when you go back and listen to this, you're going to be like, that's rad.
I'm going to be like, damn, dude, you don't talk about anything.
No, it's good. It's good stuff. Trust me. Like the first time we did one, I was like, dude, I fucking stunk the room up bad. And then I listened to it the next day or that night, and I was like, man, this is entertaining as shit. So it's a good time. It's a good conversation. Good friends. Good skateboarding.
Right.
Well, you guys, McGuffin even said this when I turned him onto your podcast. He's like, those guys are, I forget how he worded it, but like vocally enhanced. He basically said you guys had great voices.
I like it. Wow. I appreciate it.
Yeah. The ladies have always thought my voice was like sexy radio voice, you know?
Yeah, you sound but like y'all are like a radio show.
I think I sound completely idiotic and retarded. Nobody ever hear your voice through a cassette tape that was in one of those old school cassette recorders?
Yeah.
You're like, that's not me. That's not me. Because there was no EQ in there.
It was right. It was all flat.
That tape quality was bad.
Well, like, I didn't like hearing my voice ever. And then we started doing this. I've gotten kind of okay with it.
And now you love to listen to yourself.
Man, it's like, I'm a vocal.
I feel like you should be like a smooth jazz.
I'm a vocal narcissist.
You turn you on.
Right. Oh my God, next that would be rad.
That would be rad.
That would be rad, dude. Actually, I got I was asked by, for my job, I do a lot of consulting. And I was asked by one of the, it was actually a radio station that I was doing some consulting for. The head of the radio station was like, "Man, would you do our lead in with our call sign?" And I was like, "I don't think I should, man, because this radio station was in Harlem, and I didn't want to be the white guy doing the voice, right?" So, but she had me do it anyway, and it was really cool. So, my voice was on Harlem radio station.
I think mostly why people live there now.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I don't know.
Has it been totally gentrified?
Everything is gentrified. Man,
that's not good.
Yeah, not cool at
fucking
all.
Fucking white people.
Well, so, I do got to say before we head out of here that you guys need to make sure and get your doctor checkup. So you doing that? You seeing your doctor? I mean, you have knee issues and stuff, but it's very important that as we get older, I think I
get the camera up my ass.
Oh, man. Colonoscopy.
Oh, that's 50, right?
Yeah. This will be the first time.
And have you seen Dr. Jellyfingers yet?
Unfortunately, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
His name is Dr. Richard Chop.
That's his real name, right?
That's his
Dick
name.
Dick Chop, yeah.
He's famous in these parts.
Dick Chop is awesome.
For cutting those parts.
But, yeah, I've got a scheduled 50-year-old physical, and I think I get a camera up my ass.
Awesome. You're going to have to drink some really gnarly stuff the night before. You got to fast. It's horrible. It's no fun. So I'll be a couple years later.
I'll be 2 years, man. I might call you, maybe, and come hold my hand or something. Fucking kidding.
It's just traumatic.
Traumatic.
I don't even care.
Hold my
goddamn
hand, man. Please.
I just wanted to not find anything, you know.
Yeah. No, I got you. Everybody, man, make sure you stay on top of that.
Yeah,
if you've got some kind of insurance, go to the dentist too, because I spent a lot of money on dental work lately. So,
and if you're in some kind of weird dark place, man, you got a lot of friends. Call them up.
That's right.
I'm tired of losing people. This sucks.
Absolutely.
And stuff that could have been prevented too. I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
I think ultimately you're never alone. Just remember that. Never alone.
Yeah, man. And I'm a good ear for those kinds of things. I've been through a lot of therapy and anger management, and it did me well. It saved me, you know. So I have a number if you have anger issues and you're interested in checking out some anger management, or you just want some psychotherapy, or if you're in a relationship that's not going so well and you'd like to make it better. AustinAngerManagement.com, and the number is 512-476-1800.
What's that number again?
512-476-1800.
Perfect.
And you can tell them Chase sent you, and that won't get you a discount or anything, but just makes me look good. And that's all I have.
That's all you got?
Michael, awesome to see you as usual. I'm glad we've actually got to see each other twice this year. Three times. It's the third time this year.
Times,
it's awesome. Yeah. And we're gonna try and get to Houston a little bit more often, because there's a lot of podcast material there that we need to incorporate here.
Yeah.
You know, for us, for me, my hometown, we need to go to Corpus.
Frank Gardner, right. John Gibson, on the Ken list. Fillion would be hilarious.
Dude, if I could get a hold of Ken, yes, I can.
You can.
But, man, I used to skate with Ken a lot, and I looked up to that dude. I mean, it's kind of the same.
You looked down to him.
I looked down, but I looked up to him so much because he killed it. He was my favorite local back
in
the
day. He would be hilarious on here, too.
I would love to get him. Is he still playing drums?
Probably. He does a lot of cool stuff. He skydives. He plays drums. He does cool shit.
Tech said he would do it in Houston.
Yeah,
and he's another one that he remembers a lot of cool stuff, man. Frank Gardner, you got to get him on here.
He's on the
dude
list.
Dude knows everything. He remembers everything.
Well, if we get Tex on, I'm going to actually have him talk about that ramp and that picture on the wall over there that apparently it burned down, I suppose. So
I think their van
caught on fire.
Burned down on the way home. Something like that.
Chevy, if I remember correctly, it was a brown Chevy Astro van.
I'm pretty sure Mark Roach can tell the story because he was in it.
Was he in it?
Yeah, and was he not at the vert ramp when you guys went?
No, I think it was. I think it was Crumb.
He's been skating good, Mark Roach, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. He's skating the vert ramp. He's killing it. But he has that story about the burned down van.
That's awesome. So, all right, man. Well, hey, we want to, man, everybody, thank you for listening. Thanks for sticking with us. Get out there, man. Get those wheels down. Keep the sun out of your eyes.
And always be yourself.
Right on, man.
Y'all sorry, be good. Thanks, Michael.
Sorry
thanks,
we
Michael.
Didn't talk about anything.
We didn't talk about anything
we
at
talked
all.
About a lot. So y'all be good.
Later.
Take care.
Bye.
All that good stuff, bye. Man.